about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
It's Valentine's Day. It's not the day you run away from love. It's the day you track it down, tie it up, and take it home.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Someone who thinks you're special in every single way. I wrote this song to wish you a happy Valentine's Day. And the chorus goes here. Yeah, this is where the chorus goes.
Chris.
Didn't have time to write it, but the chorus goes here. Yeah, this is the chorus.
It's okay. I really don't care about Valentine's.
But you're a lady, right? Why haven't I seen pictures of you as a baby?
And now...
Will you be my Valentine? I just realized I'm gay.
Our feature presentation.
That's nice. Aww,
that's one way to do it.
That's a sad way to get out of being a Valentine. Come on.
Sure does.
Doesn't
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show, Valentine's Day. It's Tuesday.
Beer Mug takes Propecia.
Oh, God, Bean.
What's that?
Thanks, Bean. Thank
You're
you.
Terrible.
Wait, what is that?
This was an off-air conversation.
All right, but now it's on the air. What is it? What's Propecia?
It's for hair loss.
Yeah.
That can't work, Beer Mug.
It does.
Actually, it's for not having hair loss.
It does. And for the price it is, it works. It's really,
really
expensive. Yeah, it's really, really not cheap.
No.
And it works.
But how do you know it works? Because you don't know what would be happening to your head if you weren't taking it.
I do know what's happening in my head. I have extremely increasing cul-de-sacs on the front.
Mm-hmm.
It's the opposite of male pattern. Male pattern's on the back. I have the front. And when I don't take it, those get bigger. And when I do take it, the hair fills in where the thinning hair is.
Huh. No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. God, you've got a lot of problems that I didn't have at your age.
What's happening?
Poor Muggs is falling apart. Look at him.
I'm sorry, Mugs.
I joke about this from time to time, but I don't think I'll ever forget. In fact, I'll list it as one of the most memorable days on the Kevin and Bean Show when I found out that Beer Mug was only 27. It just it blew my mind.
Well, in that he looks not a day under 47.
So that's interesting. I just assumed that Propecia, you know, being a guy with a lustrous full head of hair and way older than you, Mugs, I just assumed that Propecia was one of those, you know, snake oil jobs like so many other things that they sell for virility or for growing hair.
Almost
those sorts of
every
things.
One of those that were growing hair, I think, is a scam. But
yeah, but this one actually works, huh?
Huh.
Does insurance cover that?
Nope.
No.
Wow.
It's expensive, though, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
How much?
$200 a bottle for 90 pills. $200.
Wow, yeah. That is pricey.
Yeah,
but it's worth it.
Yeah, it's worth it. I mean,
it's worth it to have that hair.
Yeah,
I mean, just look.
Especially
at it.
Especially at his age,
I want to run my fingers through it. Yeah, at your age, I mean, it should be falling out by now.
Yeah.
And with everything else Muggs already has going against him, that makes it unlikely for him to get a date. Let's face it, he can't afford to lose hair too.
That's true.
Because he's already got the personality and, you know, the face.
Strike one, strike two. He's got a couple of strikes three. Strike three.
Happy Valentine's Day, Muggs.
Yeah, thanks, Bean.
Nothing but love here.
Yeah.
Speaking of Valentine's Day, here's an interesting story that kind of has a Valentine's Day twist. You know Vladimir Putin, who's the prime minister of Russia. He was the president for two terms, and then he couldn't be president anymore, so he became prime minister. And now he's running for president again, by the way. I don't know if you guys know that.
A lot of protesting,
too. Did not know that.
Yeah, his plan is just to be in power forever, and he is, by most accounts, pretty popular. He's done many people think a pretty good job. Of course, Russia has a lot of problems.
Yep.
I mean,
unless you're rich.
Russia is very, very, very poor country. The problem that he is trying to address today, Valentine's Day, is their declining population. They are the biggest country in the world. You probably know that. Geographically, there's no country bigger than Russia.
Right.
But they only have 142 million people, which is less than, you know, lots of countries, including Pakistan and Bangladesh. I mean, not just the big ones, not just the Chinas and the Indias, but
right.
I mean, even countries like. And for some reason, Vladimir Putin thinks they need more people. Now, I don't know what's the advantage. Help me understand this, because it doesn't say in the article. What's the advantage of having more people? Is it because you want a bigger tax base? Is that why?
Probably.
Well, I think the problem is if people stop having kids, then then there's nobody to come in and replace the jobs that are being left by older people. And yeah, exactly. Nobody to continue to support the economy. as the older people stop working.
But if you already have so many people who are so desperately poor, doesn't it seem like there would be more for every citizen if there are fewer people being born?
I don't think they care
You're not sharing your food with another 100 million people coming up behind you.
I don't think they care that much about the fact that people are poor.
Oh, really?
No. I mean, what do they care?
Well, if you were the prime minister, what kinds of things would you do? Well, he is offering to build free kindergartens. He's offering cheaper housing, which seems like it would help everybody.
Sure.
He's offering this article is in Britain, so it says £140. So let's just say $300 a month benefit bonus to mothers who have a third child. Okay. He's trying to get the population up to 154 million. That's what his goal is. So basically what he's going out there and saying is start having more sex.
Plus, he'll give away free Propecia.
Now you're talking.
It's getting more like communism, saying we're going to do this and do that.
It's just so funny. We're so many. Of course, the United States has a. I guess it's not a declining birth rate, but we have a smaller. Every year, we have a smaller increase, right, Lisa? That's where we're at right
yes,
now, which is probably fairly healthy.
Seems
but
fine to me.
Yeah, it seems like there are plenty
still
of people.
Growing.
Yep,
I don't see a shortage. That's for sure. But imagine your prime minister comes on TV and says, "Seriously, ladies, you got to start giving it up, and you got to start getting knocked up. Have some kids already.
Come on now, get some lingerie. Let's get things moving.
Let's get things moving. Right? They had to start putting porn on TV. I mean, there are some more things they could do that maybe they haven't thought about.
They all have vodka all the time. No? I don't understand why this is a problem.
That should help.
Yeah,
yeah,
it should. Yeah, but you know, some people are saying that is you know part of the problem. With the part of the reason that maybe people don't want to bring a child into the world is that everybody dies young and everybody's drunk and there's high crime and there's a mob. I mean, Russia's not perfect.
Let's go. And the weather during the winter sucks.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And another thought, by the way, is, you know, a lot of countries, like if the United States decided, hey, we need more population, we just relax immigration. Lots of people want to move to the United States.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people are dying to get into Russia.
All right. Anybody want to step up to the front of the line? Anyone. Free right now.
Free house. Come
anybody.
On, bud. I mean, maybe there's somebody, you know, in a village that's just overrun with too many people in Pakistan who might look at Russia and go, it'd be great to have 100 acres or something. But it just doesn't seem like a lot of people are dying to move.
No,
there,
so. Definitely not.
Anyway, Vladimir Putin should offer himself up. He's hunky. The ladies love him. He should say, have kids and I'll help. Maybe that's the answer.
He could sire his own little army.
His own.
Exactly.
Wow. His own population. That'd be awesome.
Good times.
All right. You'll be here at 10 after 1, and then I've got a 15 after 1. So you're going to have to really step it up. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I know, right?
Yes. We have Allison Hayslip from
G4.
Yes. Yes.
We do.
Got a new show called Battleground. We're excited.
I love her so much.
She's the best.
You watch any of that yesterday?
I did not. I did not have time, though.
Super good.
Fantastic.
It's a Hulu show. It's the first original Hulu series because, you know, we're now blurring the lines. Soon there will be no television. I mean, I think that's clear. Everything will be media coming from somewhere. It doesn't matter whether it's coming from an internet site like Hulu or from a distribution site like Netflix or if it comes from ABC television. It's all going to be on a box in your room and you can just watch it however you would normally watch it. But it's not going to be TV per se. And this is just another, you know, kind of chipping away at what used to be the television monopoly. I think it's very exciting.
Comedian Brad Williams will be here taking a look at the showbiz a couple of times today.
All right.
Very excited about that. You got stuck in an elevator. This dude, there's one dude that got stuck in an elevator twice in one day.
No.
Yes.
Don't you think like, okay, you're bad news. I'm keeping my distance.
Oh, my gosh.
Twice in one day.
That's unbelievable. Yeah.
I'll have to look at that article again, but I think from scanning it a couple weeks ago, I think it was in the same building.
It was.
So there was an elevator that they were having problems with the elevators, but he was just the unlucky schmuck who got rescued the first time, got another elevator a few minutes later, and ended up getting stuck again.
Stairs.
He was in there for like 3 hours. Yeah, exactly. If you're
stairs,
in for three
exactly.
hours, don't you go, yeah, you know what? I'll walk. I don't care how far down it is. We have the beer mug weight challenge, which we're going to begin today.
Ah, yes.
Beer mug always starts everything with 100% confidence and then fails within 5 minutes.
Yep.
So we're thinking that's going to happen again.
There's no pill you can take for that?
No.
Nope.
Oh.
There is not. And we got a few more mugs interviews from the Grammys.
Oh, excellent.
Still have some of those left over. It's hard to get through all of them. They're just such gold. And we also have the UFC middleweight champ of the world, Anderson Silva.
The spider.
What?
And you're going to kick his ass, right, Kevin? That's what you've been saying.
The spider in the studio. Easy. Easy.
Wow.
Easy. He's considered the best UFC fighter ever by some people.
Because no one's seen you fight.
That's correct.
Right.
Once I take him out, now I'm going to be considered the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world.
Dude, imagine what a baller you would be if you beat the crap out of Anderson Silva today.
Got that right.
It'd be a headline all around the world.
My life is about to change.
Yes, that's all you have to do. Dude, seriously, you should think about that.
Seriously. So anyway, we have him in the studio as well. We'll take a break. We will come back with the showbiz.
What's up, party people? More phenomenal interviews from Beer Mug at the Grammy Roundtable coming up after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. In the meantime, it's us, Kevin and Bean, filling in for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat. There's only really one story I care about today, and that is the unveiling last night on the David Letterman Show, as has been the annual tradition for many years now, of this year's Sports Illustrated swimsuit cover model.
Yay!
That's how they do it. They do a big deal with Letterman where he unveils the cover and then brings the girl out and does an interview. And it's a very nice tradition that continues. And it's Kate Upton.
Kate Upton.
Hang on one second.
Hey, Dave, can you put my post up now?
I did a post.
Did you?
As I want to do.
had the time to do that, did you?
I didn't really, but but I felt it was necessary because Kate Upton is unbelievable.
She's the best, except for Weird Al, she might be the best person in the world ever. And look, I know what you're thinking right now, Lisa, is there are lots of hot girls out there. How hot can she be? Like, is it really possible that she's hotter than everyone else? Yes. Yes, it is possible.
Yes, it
is. That is possible, yeah.
And yes, she is. She is 19 years old, and later this morning when we do the showbiz, I have some fun facts about Kate Upton you didn't know. But the reason I wanted to bring it up this time, besides the fact that it gives us the opportunity to talk about Kate Upton, and I'm refreshing and I'm not seeing your post, is there was a little bit of a hiccup, a little bit of a controversy this year. I don't know if you guys heard what happened, but I mentioned that they unveil the cover and bring out the girl every year on Letterman, except you'll notice, Kevin, that I emailed you a JPEG of the Sports Illustrated cover yesterday afternoon, hours before it was unveiled. How? Because mistakenly, somehow, the issues of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue that are supposed to be available on newsstands, I think, tomorrow, ended up being shipped in advance to a gas station in Michigan.
What?
Awesome. All of them?
No, not all of them, but a box of them. And no one knows how. I mean, I guess they're investigating it now, but they keep this thing under wraps until it's unveiled, and then they ship it out the next day to arrive the day after, right?
Somehow
this guy working at a gas station in Michigan opens up his magazines, and there's the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. So he tells somebody, and somebody tells somebody. The next thing you know, it's up online, and the next thing you know, TMZ has it. So then the cover is unveiled for all the world to see. Not, you know, just the cover, I think, is all that went up. Now, you know, now everybody wants to see the rest of the magazine. But how hilarious is that that's what happened, and that's how it was unveiled?
That's bizarre.
It's not a surprise that Miss Upton is the cover model, though. She was extremely popular when she debuted last year. And they have awards, I guess, for these swimsuit models. And she was named Rookie of the Year last year of the new girls that
appeared. Last year she did the painting part of the magazine.
She did. Oh. She's good like that.
Where they paint the actual bikini on. It's not a bikini, but it's paint. And I think she wore it well.
I agree. So that... something you may want to be keeping your eyes peeled for on the newsstand or online here tomorrow.
Now, it's not supposed to come out until tomorrow?
I think tomorrow is the day. Let's double check on that, but that's my understanding.
Well, what's the difference, for God's sakes? Let's put it out today, really?
You're going to be able to get Kate Upton when you deck Anderson Silva, by the way.
That's true.
I mean, your life is going to change in so many ways today, because now you've got an opening line. You meet a girl like Kate Upton, you go, she says, "Oh, what's your story?" And you go, "Well, you know, I knocked out Anderson Silva with one punch," and boom, now you're in.
It's like, you've got to be kidding. We should go out.
Yep.
That's going to happen.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to it. How much do you think we are going to spend today, or for Valentine's Day in general, on chocolate?
Oh, wow. A lot.
Including Beer Mug or not including Beer Mug?
Not including. That can't be part of it.
I can't even imagine. I mean, it's, you know, chocolate and flowers are the two things that people seem to buy the most.
Millions.
It does have to be millions or $1 billion.
No.
$1 billion.
So
is
I'm
that
no
just
Valentine.
Chocolate?
Yeah, just chocolate.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
I'm no Valentine's Day fan, but it sounds like it's really good for the economy.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point. Yeah.
$1 billion. Can you imagine how much chocolate that is?
That is a coma worth of chocolate. That's diabetic coma.
That's a lot of chocolate.
That is a lot of chocolate. That's what I had to add to that story. It's a lot of chocolate.
That's true.
Here's a follow-up that I was thinking about yesterday, and now it's in the papers, about the death of Whitney Houston. You know, what do we do when a music star dies? Is we all go out and start listening to her songs again, and she gets new fans, and we buy the songs that we're nostalgic for because we're all sad. And it's no surprise that there's tons of Whitney Houston on the iTunes and Amazon.com charts right now.
Sure.
A lot of her songs are selling. In fact, I Will Always Love You is number one on iTunes and has been since Saturday, and is number one on Amazon's MP3 as well. I was trying to figure out, I'd love to know, how much money, and I'm sure she's sad about it because they apparently were friends, but how much money is Dolly Parton going to make this week for doing nothing? Yeah. I mean, just out of the blue, she writes that song. She's already made literally millions of dollars off of that song. It was a number one record for her twice on the country charts. She recorded it years later, recorded a new version that also went to number one. Then Whitney comes along and has one of the biggest selling singles and albums of all time. She made so much dough off of that. It has continued to sell throughout the years. But this week, with number one everywhere, it just must be crazy, the money that Dolly Parton is making off of this thing.
Yeah, she really has made millions and millions and millions just off of Whitney Houston singing. It's unbelievable. Yep.
And they used to have a tradition I heard about where every time, you know, they would get the update from the, you know, from the record company, whatever, that the song had sold another million copies. And this has continued throughout the years, long after this, you know, the song was an oldie. They would send each other flowers and a note saying, congratulations, great job, and stuff like that. And it was kind of something that they shared because Whitney sang it and Dolly wrote it. But one article that I read, by the way, said that Dolly Parton, as the songwriter, gets 8 cents every time the song gets played on the radio. That's how the royalties break down with what she gets from the songwriting on that.
Right.
Imagine how much that song is even getting. I mean, forget the sales. Imagine how much that's getting played on the radio and how fast that adds up.
Yeah, true.
Insane dough. That's the way to go, is to be a songwriter, you guys. You just get paid forever.
Okay, I'm just going to do
that.
You
need to write a song.
You write it in 10 minutes and you're set for life.
That's the best idea ever. Thank you, Bean. I'll get right on that.
I got a lot of good ideas today, by the way.
Is that right?
Well, I mean, I got your whole Anderson Silva Kate Upton plan.
That's
I'm firing on all cylinders today. Look out, world.
So all I have to do is knock out on Anderson Silva, and then I get Kate Upton?
Yes.
Now, are you sure about that?
Because absolutely.
Before I go in for the punch, I want to make sure that's on the other side of it.
Bean is guaranteeing it.
This is like the 72 virgins. I just want to check and make sure before things happen.
And now you have all the motivation you need. If you were thinking about maybe holding back that punch a little bit, because, you know, generally you don't want to hit everybody with everything you got, right,
no,
Kevin?
Of course
you want to
not.
Hold something back or you'll kill them.
Yeah.
Now that you know you got Kate Upton on the other side of it, I think you should go for it.
All right, if you say so. We talked about this yesterday. It has been confirmed and has been tweeted a picture of Willow Smith, who apparently, according to Star Magazine, cut all of her hair off. This is the 11-year-old that whips her hair back and forth. Yeah. And we mentioned it yesterday, and then she tweeted out a picture of her with no hair.
Huh.
So I don't know if she is forced by law to change the song. I whip my head back and forth.
She can't perform it anymore.
She certainly doesn't whip her hair back and forth.
No.
I'll tell you that right now. So that's ruined. The one song, the one claim to fame she has, gone. She should think about that.
Interesting choice.
How often does, how old is she now? Like 11 or 12 or something like that?
11.
How often does a 11-year-old shave her head, by the way? What's that all about?
I would say never.
Yeah, right?
Are she going into a movie?
Could be movie role.
Or is it stress from her parents breaking up? Is that what it is?
Hey,
is she acting out?
Hey, being refreshed now.
What are you guys doing?
I'm just saying, looking refresh. Look, Kate Upton.
Yeah.
I'm just saying refresh right now because that's her.
Wow.
And, that is really Kate Upton.
Yes.
And they're really barely staying in there, aren't they?
They're really screwed. Hanging on
for dear life.
That bikini is screaming for help. And there's a giant photo gallery. I don't know. There's like 200 pictures. And there's like 4 videos. So I just whipped it up, Lisa.
You're a giver.
Don't make fun of me
like that.
I'm just trying to help the people.
I
want them to know what they're talking about when they're having conversations with other people.
Today is Tuesday, just ahead of celebrity birthdays here on the Showbiz Beat. Today is Tuesday. That means new DVDs and CDs available in-store and for download. The Rum Diary, that Johnny Depp movie with Giovanna Ribisi, that's available today. Also, Paranormal Activity 3 is out today. Human Centipede 2.
Yep.
No one loved the original Human Centipede more than I did, but Human Centipede 2... Not so much.
No, you enjoyed that.
Not so much. CDs today, not a big day. The Heartless Bastards, a band I like very much, has a new one out today called Arrow. Also, Band of Skulls is back. Theirs is called Sweet Sour. And it's too bad Psycho Mike's not with us today. You know how much he loves Goat Whore.
Oh, yeah.
Goat Whore is back. Their new one is called Blood for the Master. Here's a clip. I have a clip right here of Goat Whore from their brand new record out today.
Do a little dance. Make a little love. Get down tonight.
Wow, that's kind of a spoken word.
Change.
I don't know. That's not at all what I was expecting for Goat Whore. But that is out today. Today's celebrity birthdays. How about one of TV's all-time great moms, Mrs. Brady herself. Florence Henderson is 78 years old today. Our old friend Pat O'Brien, famous for CBS Sports, The Access Hollywood, then The Insider. Now he does sports radio, nationally syndicated sports radio. He's 64 years old today. Teller from Penn and Teller, The Magicians, is 64. We'll have his partner Penn on the program tomorrow talking about Celebrity Apprentice. How about Simon Pegg, great actor, 42 mm-hmm. years old today. And Rob Thomas of Matchbox 20, not a great singer, is 40 today. And that is the showbiz. Listeners are informing me, by the way, that the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue does come out, in fact, today, not tomorrow, today. So it will be available on Sports Illustrated through your tablet and also at the newsstands. That's one that's worth having the paper copy of.
Well, I mean, make up your own mind by going to the website. Go to kevinandbean.com or krock.com. You can make up your own mind about Kate Upton.
I would do it when you don't have anything you have to do in the next hour.
In the next 5 minutes.
Because it's
five minutes.
No, Lisa's saying you'll need an hour to go through all the video.
I know what Kevin's saying.
All right, let's talk about our man Beer Mug, who we sent down there with the K-Rock microphones, and by there I mean Staples Center, ahead of the Grammys this past weekend. And it's hard to believe we're days past the Grammys now, and we're still not through wading through all the tape of the interviews that he got.
Yeah, we may never be. We may never be finished. I don't know. It's just endless. It goes on forever. We left with Tom Arnold. He was talking to Tom Arnold, and he said, "I effing love McHale's Navy." We were like, "What?"
I didn't even remember he was in that movie.
Oh, it was one of those that looked like, at the very beginning, it sort of looked like maybe this could be done if it was done right.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was horrible.
And by horrible, Kevin, awesome.
I really mean, love that movie?
Yeah.
Genuinely.
Yes.
Was that the one that Kelsey Grammer was into?
I believe. No, that's Down Periscope.
Nope.
Oh, dear God.
That's an even better one,
Dean.
Even better.
How is he so versed in these movies?
That's a good question.
I don't know. So it is weird, too. Look, I understand maybe you're sucking up to the guests because you want to establish a rapport or something like that, but at least make it believable. At least say, I effing loved True Lies.
Right. That was the one with Arnold Schwarzenegger that was a really good movie.
Right. But Tom Arnold wasn't the star of True Lies. He was the star.
Co-star.
Right. But he was the star of McHale's Navy.
Let me ask you a question for real. And I want the honest truth, not your BS. Beer Mug just answers yes no matter what.
Yeah, I know.
I want you to think about it and give me the honest answer.
Okay.
Did you choose McHale's Navy because he was the star and he was sitting in front of you? Or did you really love McHale's Navy? Because I find that hard to believe.
I really loved McHale's Navy.
Oh, no way. No way.
Yeah.
All right. What do you got?
So he's talking to Tom Arnold, and as Beer Mug does occasionally, he turns the conversation toward himself.
Huh.
Which is odd.
I have a whole guy that dedicated a Facebook page to me. No name, no face.
Oh, nice.
That, just slams.
Yeah.
Which I love.
Which I love.
How did that come up?
Let me tell you about me and people who love me. I think they were talking about some of the haters.
Right.
Because he was really giving Tom Arnold some good advice about the haters. Beer Mug is talking to Tom Arnold.
Hey, Kevin. He was listening, too.
And he's telling him how to handle the haters.
He's a polite man.
Kind. Yes.
I love you, man. Well, love good you, luck buddy. To you. Continued success. And the haters.
Exactly. There you go.
Yeah.
Nice.
Tom's on my side.
You guys
he's
can
not.
Have a drink
he's
later.
Just happy the interview's over. So then Arsenio Hall sits down.
The people love him.
The people do love him.
Yes.
And Beer Mug has the opportunity to interview Arsenio Hall. Now, okay. In Beer Mug's defense, I don't know what I'd say to him at this point.
Yeah, you do. Seriously, Celebrity Apprentice, Dish.
Oh, well, sure, of course. I wouldn't say Dish because I'm not gay. But here's Beer Mug.
Let me ask you, the woo, 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 let's get busy.
That's not a question. If you don't mind my saying so.
There's more, right?
When you say, let me ask you, generally what happens is it's followed with a question.
Sure.
And you are asking him to expand on something that was on a TV show that he did more than 20 years ago, right? That is what your lead question is?
Well, yeah. What I was going to ask was, I don't know if Kevin has it in here. I said, let me ask you, let's get busy. You got to be sick of that, right? Because that's his, like, everybody must see him and okay. do that all the time.
Did you do the hand okay. motion?
Yes, I did the hand motion. All let right, me ask you.
That's legitimate.
The woot, 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 let's get busy.
Even if you ask him,
you got to be sick of that? That's a good question.
Maybe, no, but
I think that's all right.
Let me
that's
ask okay. you. Woot, woot, woot.
Yeah, it was poorly asked, but I see what you were going for now that you've explained it.
Let me ask you, Arsenio.
Can I just bring up something? You don't have to ask, let me ask you, or say, let me ask you, because he's sitting there right. in an interview situation.
He's stalling. That's the only reason he says that.
Thank you, Lisa.
Where he's expecting a question. So yeah. you don't have to set it up with, let me ask you, which you do every single time you talk. But I think you are stalling just to try to
see something. Let me ask you, Arsenio. You started in stand-up comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've been told I'm not very funny, and I
oh,
know.
No.
But
no.
So you're starring on the season 5 episode.
What?
The whole season of
what?
Did you edit that?
What was he in season? I didn't know. What was he in season 5 of?
Celebrity Apprentice.
Talking about Celebrity Apprentice. Okay.
But how did you go from?
I don't know. I smell shenanigans here.
I did nothing. I don't know if Omar did, but I did nothing.
I smell shenanigans.
It doesn't sound like there
shenanigans.
Was an edit.
Yeah.
Wow, Mugs.
So then Dexter from Sum 41 sits down.
Dexter? Isn't his name Derek?
Well, I'm sorry, Bean, what?
The guy, isn't the guy named Derek? Derek Whidbey, the guy from Sum 41? Is that your
Derek Whibley, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that is his name.
Oh, man.
Not to Beer Mug, though. To Beer Mug, his name is Dexter.
Uh-oh.
Backstage at the Grammy Roundtable with Dexter from some... I'm sorry, Derek from Sum 41.
Awesome. That's how you relax. That's how you relax your guest is called by the wrong name when he sits down.
Now, Beer Mug loves to go back and... what do you call it? Fill in...
I got a little backstory.
A little backstory. That's what Beer Mug calls it. When he's going to tell a story that relates to nothing, that the person's not going to remember. It has nothing to do with anything. It's just a thought that he has that he might be able to talk to him about.
I got a little backstory I want to tell about your band. I saw you, the first time I saw you was at the Roxy, I want to say back in 2000, you guys were just breaking out.
Okay, so we saw him at the Roxy 11 years ago.
Hey,
why is he spending this much time talking about his experience?
And Sum 41 has played 7 billion shows since then.
Sure. And you guys opened for the Impossibles, which I don't know if you can remember. You've played a load of shows.
All right, now somebody help me with this, because my understanding here is the Beer Mug is starting to drink.
Yeah, I did hear a little Kevin in there.
Does anybody else feel like Beer Mug is starting to drink?
Well, because I was.
I do.
I was. There's unlimited amount of soda and food, and I was.
How happy are you?
Oh, it was the best.
I'm not that's talking about soda.
That's why the Grammy Roundtable is the best. There's no alcohol. So I was just kind of like on a sugar rush, kind of. And I was kind of lethargic from that day. Omar did ask me if I was drunk, and I was like, no, I was a little bit tired, but I was more relaxed.
Well, let the people be the judge.
Okay. And you guys opened for the Impossibles, which I don't know if you can remember. You've played a load of shows.
Remember,
I don't know what that was.
You're crashing.
Yeah, that's what that was.
I don't know if you remember. You played a of shows.
I'm coming off my sugar high.
So then he talks to them about the Grammys, and they're not positive they're going to win, which, by the way, is a pretty accurate feeling. You're Sum 41. You're not going to win a Grammy. You're up against Foo Fighters. You're not going to win a Grammy. But Beer Mug is not happy with his attitude of defeatism.
What can we expect from this year's Grammys, do you think? But besides getting the award.
Well, as far as our award goes, we could expect a loss.
No. No.
All right, now here's where Beer Mug life coach steps in.
I don't think we're going to win.
Not with a kick-ass sailor hat on.
Hey, well, you know, I do my best. But, you know, we're up against the Foo Fighters and I don't know who else, but I assume we're going to lose.
No. Never think negative, Derek. Never think negative. Sum 41 rips, dude.
Cool. Well, thank you.
And if anybody ever talks, I'm going to kick their ass.
Lots of people talk.
He's drunk, isn't he?
He is.
Okay, he is.
Beer Mug is drunk.
I might have an explanation.
If any,
you be positive. Anybody talk, I'm going to...
And now the guy's just, you know, putting up with him.
Yeah. I might have been getting a little bit of contact.
Drunkness.
Yes. Contact drunkness from Derek.
All right. I don't have time, but we have more.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, listen, there's more.
It's not my fault. You talked to everybody there, and you were gold with every single person.
I try.
Don't let anyone...
talk the worst.
Negative, because you're gonna win. Did they win? No.
No mugs.
No, they didn't.
Oh, so. Well.
That's beer mug 6 point.
Welcome to a Tuesday Kevin and Bean Show. Funny man Brad Williams joins us next hour. He's also going to be doing a couple of Ralph Showbiz beats for us on today's Kevin and Bean Show. The beautiful actress and host Allison Hayslip is going to be in here today. Anderson Silva later on the show, and in about a half an hour or so, we're going to be looking for your stories. I don't know how many people have had this experience, but if you have been stuck in an elevator, we're going to want to hear from you. Find out how that went. I don't know. I think I might freak out.
You mean really like scream and melt?
Can you
like,
see
me
like laying on his back, kicking his feet in the air, screaming?
I don't know. I mean, I guess obviously it depends on how long you're in there, but it'll be interesting to hear what people's stories are of what they do, because I have heard of people who try to get themselves out of an elevator and it ends up killing them because they don't know how elevators work and they end up falling to their death, you know, or they climb up on top of the elevator and then have no place to go from there. I mean, there's a lot of bad things that can happen when an elevator breaks down.
Sure. But mostly not. Mostly you just wait to get rescued and you're fine.
Or and wet yourself.
And wet yourself, yeah. Sure. There's that. It's time for another edition of...
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
Got a few stories here. One of them involves a police car that's sitting at a Main Street red light. The police car is already there. It's marked. It's got the lights on top. It's got the police on the side. Mm-hmm. And it's sitting there in the right lane. In the left lane, a car pulls up, driven by a 50-year-old. The cop looks over, and every single person in the car is either snorting cocaine or doing heroin.
Oh, my. What?
Yes. There's three of them. All three of them are doing hardcore drugs, sitting at the light next to the cop car that was already there. So it's not like they're doing drugs and they're out of it and the cop car pulls up. They pulled up next to the cop car.
Wow.
And sometimes you just got to do
sometimes
it.
Sometimes you have to have drugs.
But who goes out of his or her way to do drugs in public like that?
I don't
That's
know.
That's bizarre.
I don't know. You can't pull over or go home. Or I mean, you really have to have it right there at the light. The cop said he couldn't believe it. He looked over. The guy in the passenger seat was snorting white powder out of his hand.
Oh, my God. Did they pick up like a bucket or something?
I don't know. I have no idea. But they arrested all three. One tried to run, and he didn't get away because he was high.
Well, yeah, there's that.
This is one of my favorite stories. Adventurer who wanted to live like Bear Grylls in Scottish wilderness for a year. Found dead in less than a month.
Yeah, he was going to be on my next death corner. This is very.
Do you want me to save it for you?
No, no, it's okay. But this is very sad to see a guy see, hey, he does that on TV. I can do that too.
It's not sad.
Wah, wah, wah.
Don't they say don't try this at home?
They do, and they mean it. And this guy's an idiot and thinning the herd. I'm fine with it. But apparently he was found dead in a remote mountain hut. And he was planning, he said, you know, he told all his friends, Bear Grylls, the survivalist thing, I'm going to survive for a year. 1 month later, he was found, and he had been dead for like a week.
He only lasted 3 weeks?
He made like 2-3 weeks is all he made.
Yeah.
Then he died.
Hey, not everyone has Bear Grylls skills.
Yeah. Well, no kidding.
He's got a special set of skills that allow him to survive in situations like that. The rest of us don't.
And now I'm going to tell you finally about the piggyback bandit. This is one of the weirdest stories I've ever seen. This is a dude in Minneapolis, around the Minneapolis area, who is 250 pounds.
Okay.
And he dresses up like the basketball team that's on the court, whoever it is. It's not one school. And he runs around jumping on people's back, getting piggyback rides.
Okay.
Why? I don't know. Here's the news story.
High schools are being warned that he might turn up at one of their games. This guy is called the Piggyback Bandit, and what he does is just creepy. Good evening. I'm Leah McLean.
I'm Bill. On the short, stocky man dresses up like the players and then tries to jump on their backs for some odd reason.
Okay, so he gets a uniform from the team that's playing and then acts like he's part of it. And then runs around and jumps on their backs.
Okay.
In some cases, he's injured high school athletes. Five Eyewitness News reporter Nick Winkler's live at Washburn High School in Minneapolis, where a game just wrapped up tonight.
Officials in Washington, Oregon, Montana, and North Dakota
say Shagan often joins players on the court, offers them water during games, and at times tries to get into locker rooms. Shagan was spotted at a Concordia St. Olaf game Wednesday and in St. Cloud Thursday, and now is thought to be in Minneapolis.
He's busy. This guy really, really needs piggyback rides.
He is dedicated to his thing, isn't he?
And I've looked, I read the article, I listened to the news report. There's no mention of any kind of sexual anything. He
but
just,
there's got to be something about that
so
for
too.
Him.
I would think
Does
so,
Does he just
too.
Think it's funny, maybe? Or is he just, like, screwing with the other team? Is,
I don't I mean, know. He's just, he needs piggyback rides, and he needs them now.
250-pounder pleaded guilty to assaulting two Montana soccer players who were piggybacked last year. Reports indicate Mr. Shagan injured two of those soccer players he jumped on last year.
He's 250 pounds. He's jumping on the back of the guys. And they're like, hey, whoa,
guys.
Whoa.
Separately, Shagan is also a convicted felon and has been convicted of trespassing 26 times.
All right.
So there you go, the piggyback bandit.
I've been piggybacked.
That is the Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Day.
Now you know, Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. As Dave tweeted on behalf of the show a few minutes ago, happy Valentine's Day. So we got that going for us. Birmingham, England. Famous for a few musical acts throughout the years. I think of Duran Duran comes to mind from there. I know some of Led Zeppelin came. I think Robert Plant is originally from Birmingham. ELO. Who else comes to mind? Oh, yes. Black Sabbath.
Black Sabbath.
Black Sabbath. Maybe the biggest thing out of, you know, they put Birmingham on the musical map. And they are potentially being honored now with a Black Sabbath Day. Oh, you know, they're getting back together. You know, those guys. I thought about this when I was watching the 95-year-old Beach Boys on the Grammys the other night.
Yeah.
Is there a point at which Ozzy Osbourne and the guys in Black Sabbath are too old to go out and play actual heavy metal music?
We'll let you know. I mean, really, they haven't. They're getting back together for this big download festival that they're having there.
Yep, they're performing the original all the original members that can make it. Those that aren't in the home are performing. So they're talking about a Black Sabbath Day in the city of Birmingham, England, which I guess is quite an honor if the city council goes through with it. We thought we'd find out more about it and wish congratulations to our old friend Ozzy Osbourne, who joins us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Ozzy.
Hello,
Ozzy. How's it going this morning?
It's Ozzy.
Hi, Ozzy.
Yes, yes. Kevin and Bean, your friends Kevin and Bean calling from the radio. How are you, Mr. Osbourne?
Kevin and Bean, you
yes,
on
sir.
The radio.
Yes.
That's right.
How can you hear me if I'm talking to the radio?
Well, no, you're on the phone. We're just talking to you on the phone. But
hear my voice through the radio now.
Okay. Ozzy, it's fine. Look, we just wanted to call
Hello?
You. Ozzy, can you hear us?
Is this a radio?
No. It's just your phone.
Sure, my phone's the radio.
It's not.
No. Come on,
no. You're very confused, Ozzy. Listen, forget all that radio and phone talk. Just listen to what I'm about to tell you. Have you heard about Black Sabbath Day in your hometown of Birmingham, England?
They're having a Black Sabbath Day.
Well, they're considering it. They're thinking about it because you're getting Black Sabbath back together to play a festival there, and they're very excited about that, the Download Festival.
They're thinking about it.
They're considering.
Okay, call me back when they make a decision.
I think they're all pretty positive, but they haven't really officially announced it yet.
Black Sabbath Day, love of Black Sabbath Day. We can
Black
all
Sabbath
go shopping for a Black Sabbath tree.
No.
Black Sabbath presents.
I don't think it's that kind of a holiday. It's really more just an honor for you. They're just, you know, declaring a certain day to be in honor of Black Sabbath since you are from there.
Then what happens?
Well, I don't think anything, to be honest.
Say it?
I don't, maybe like people dress up like Black Sabbath or I don't know. It doesn't really give any details because they're still just considering it. They haven't made up their minds yet.
This is
here's the thing. The chief executive of UK Music, whoever that is, Joe Dipple, says, quote,
Joe
he says, quote,
Joe Dipple talking about me again.
Here's his quote, though. Why not? That's his quote.
They're very enthusiastic about this.
Not really. Not terribly enthusiastic.
I think they know that you're popular and it's big news among rock fans that Black Sabbath is back together and they want to make sure that Birmingham gets some of the credit. I think that's all that's going on here, honestly, Ozzy.
So Joe Dipple will come out of his house and say it's Black Sabbath Day.
Why not?
And then go back in his house. Why not?
Right. And then, whatever happens.
6 more weeks of winter, I think. Right.
And then we light the menorah.
Well, no, I don't think it's tied in with Hanukkah.
Then we well, just chocolates and flowers.
No,
not Valentine's
we
Day either. It's
tree?
Just it's not a real holiday.
It's not Arbor
just,
Day.
Listen, we just
it off.
What? No, it's not Martin Luther King Day. That's a holiday for everyone. Listen, Ozzy, we just wanted to say congratulations on this, your latest honor. That's all.
This is the worst honor I've ever had.
All right, sorry.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Tuesday. Funny man Brad Williams joins us next hour, and he'll be doing Ralph Showbiz Beat next hour. In the meantime, it's us, Kevin and Bean, filling in. Got to start with Kate Upton today. She is the...
it's the only story that matters.
She's the hottest chick in America right now because she is on the cover of the brand new Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue available everywhere today to get online and at newsstands. She is 19 years old. She is from Michigan. Kevin, what else did you learn about Kate Upton as you were putting together your comprehensive 800-part post at KRock.com?
With a lot of photos, by the way.
Uh-huh.
Kate Upton, which you need to see.
Yeah, did you learn anything about her, or were you just putting up photos?
Well, both. I learned that she takes really great photos. She was from Michigan, Bean, and then she moved and grew up in Florida. Thank you for asking.
Okay.
Look at that.
All right. Isn't it funny that we thought a couple of weeks ago that she was British because she was so famous in Britain and being in all the magazines over there and really kind of under the radar here, but now we all know she's a good old American girl. Listen to this email, by the way. Lisa, I'd like your opinion on this as well. Beth writes in, "Dear Kevin and Bean, absolutely love the fact that Kate Upton is the Sports Illustrated swimsuit cover. She has a real body, is not an emaciated stick figure with bolt-ons. She's not only gorgeous and sexy, she's also voluptuous and curvy in all the right ways. Kudos to Sports Illustrated for putting a real woman on the cover." What do you think of that?
I like that. I totally agree.
And that's, I mean, Sports Illustrated, they're not a fashion magazine. I mean, in the past, I mean, they've had Tyra Banks, who's curvy, and they've had Rebecca Romijn, who's curvy, and, you know, a lot of their models have, you know, gone on to become famous, and I don't think any of them are really emaciated like you see in, you know, Vogue or something.
Right, exactly.
That's not what they do.
They're not runway models.
But Kate Upton is even a little bit more...
Curvy
than most, and yet fantastic choice. Well, and there's a lot of photos and some videos you should see at the website, KevinandBean.com.
Oh, at KRock.com? You're kidding. We hadn't mentioned that. Okay.
Yeah, I put up some photos and some information. Let's see. We also have Valentine's Day. I don't know if you've seen the statistic or if you've heard about it before, but this is sad to me. 11% of love letters and 20% of flowers that people get at work are sent to them by themselves.
Uh-huh. Wait, give me the numbers again.
11% of love letters. Dear me, I love me. No, they want other people to think that they're getting love letters, so they write themselves a love letter. 11%, 1 in 10.
What?
And then 20% of the flowers.
That's unbelievable.
1 in 5 bouquets that show up at work are sent to somebody by themselves. I guess because nobody else is there to send them to them or something.
Yeah,
That's a huge number.
That's unbelievable.
That seems too high.
It does.
I mean, it's hard for us to source that because I don't think we'd easily be able to find people to admit to doing that.
Oh, I bet we could.
Really? People who have sent flowers to themselves?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you could. I get doing it to make somebody jealous. Like, you're dating someone casually and you want them to sort of step up a little, so maybe send yourself some flowers. I mean, I've never done it, but...
No, but here's what I would think. When I read the story, here's what I would think. You work in an office with a bunch of other girls.
And they're all getting
stuff. And they're all getting flowers.
Right.
So you think to yourself, wow, I'm going to look like a
Screw
loser.
Screw them. I'll get me the biggest bouquet ever.
I'm going to send myself flowers, too. And then I won't stand out as not getting flowers.
Right.
But 1 in 5.
Wow.
Come on. That's unbelievable.
That is a lot. Hey, here's some good news. Oprah Winfrey may be in trouble, you guys. We love it when bad things happen to Oprah, right?
Absolutely.
She went on Twitter the other day to plug one of the shows on her television network, this OWN network, OWN, which I don't think is doing big ratings. I mean, the highest rated show on that channel is the show that she does where she talks about her show, where they play clips from past Oprah Winfrey daytime shows, and she talks about that day. I mean, that's the biggest show they got. Well, anyway, it's fine to tweet to say, hey, don't forget our new show is on, but she specifically in her tweet asked people who had a Nielsen box to tune their TVs to her show, which is works the same way in radio, by the way. It's a violation of the rules. You're not allowed to mention the rating service by saying, hey, we need you to
listen if you're a Nielsen family because, or watch because you're a Nielsen family because we need the ratings. So apparently it had already been sent out. Even though she removed the tweet, it had already been sent out. So there's going to be a little asterisk by the show's name in the weekly ratings. And she has come out and apologized and said she didn't know that and she didn't mean that. But
she actually sent that tweet herself.
She knew that.
She did. Yeah. You think so?
Yes. We know that.
How could she not know that?
We know that.
She's a very smart person.
Because she's a very smart person, I don't think that she would send something out that would cause her program to not be counted properly in the ratings. She's smart enough to know not to do that.
But if we were to say something like that, then we would get in trouble because we can't tell people who have that little box thing to
Maybe she's so crafty that now that she sent it and we're talking about it, it gets her more publicity. Mm. And in the long run, it's worth it. Think about that. She's crazy like a fox.
I love that story. Don't you love that story? I'm so fat.
She sent that out, too, right afterwards. 10 most romantic movies. Maybe you're going to have a date tonight with your significant other from Red Book magazine, which I, of course, subscribe to and read every article. These are in no particular order, but Pretty Woman.
Yeah.
Ghost.
Very romantic.
Say Anything. When Harry Met Sally. The Way We Were. Love Story.
Are there any movies from the last 20 years on this list?
Let's see. Ghost, I believe, is the most recent.
Well, I mean,
Ghost and Pretty Woman at 1990 are the most
recent
movies.
Really? Come on, there's been some good romantic movies.
Yeah, I mean, I would expect to see The Notebook on there.
Yeah.
Either of all time, I think then The Notebook doesn't stand up against these.
What about
Titanic? That's old people. That's old people.
It could be old people. Yeah, because the other ones are Love Story, Dr. Zhivago, Breakfast at Tiffany's. These are 1960s movies.
Come on.
Right. Casablanca, Gone with the Wind. You don't want Gone with the Wind.
There's no Ashton Kutcher romance in there?
By the way, just for the record.
What about Valentine's Day?
Just for the record, don't do Gone with the Wind. It's way too long. You'll be thinking, Jesus, it's like midnight and they're still trying to figure out what to do.
Today's celebrity birthdays. How about our friend, actually we don't know Teller. Teller from Penn and Teller has a birthday today. He is 64 years old. Penn Jillette is our friend. He'll be joining us tomorrow here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Simon Pegg. What a great actor. What a funny guy he is.
Love him so much. He was so good in Mission Impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, he's great in everything. Like you say, Kevin, he steals every movie he's in. He's turning 42 years old today. Rob Thomas from Matchbox 20, is 40 years old today. Mrs. Brady from the Brady Bunch television show, Florence Henderson, who's on Dancing with the Stars last season or the season before, is 78 years old today. And Pat O'Brien, nationally syndicated sports personality, maybe best known for his time on CBS Sports or Access Hollywood, or tried to pick up that check for a threesome. He is 64 today. Happy birthday, Pat, and that is the show business.
Finally, I can say happy Valentine's.
Oh, my life! Ah! This gets me out of sex.
There you go. Very funny. 30 Rock Valentine's Day episode last week. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Tuesday. It is Valentine's Day. Give me that statistic again that you had in the showbiz beat a couple of minutes ago, because we're all still rattling that one around in our brains right now.
11% of love letters and 20% of the flowers received on Valentine's Day are sent by people to themselves.
Okay.
That's we're stunning
about the,
to me.
We'll talk about the flowers here in a second. The love letters. Now, what's the point of getting a love letter from yourself to yourself unless you're... I mean, is it so that something can be delivered to your desk that you can open and smile at and have everybody see and think you're mysterious? Or do you actually have to write something and then read it to your office to prove that somebody loves you so much?
Oh, I don't think you have to read it to your office. I think you try to act like you don't want anyone to see it. I mean, I know a little too much about this, but I've never done it. I've never done it, but I would think that you do it just so that all of the girls... To me, it's a...
But the other girls aren't looking at you closely enough to know what kind of letters you're having delivered to your desk, are they?
Yeah, people don't read their love letters out loud.
Out loud.
And nobody writes letters anymore.
Yeah, that's my point. The whole thing about the letters is very confusing. The flowers I get, that's a public display that every single person, if you work in an office, walking by your desk goes... Oh, wow, she got flowers. Or, ooh, who'd you get flowers from? And then you can be all mysterious and say my special someone.
Which is great until everyone in the office has something but you. And now everyone looks at you and goes, what's wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to send yourself flowers.
Yeah. I don't know.
1 in 5, 20%.
That means you think we'll find people who will admit to that.
Yes, I would like to talk to people at 1-800-520-1067. If you have... done either of the above, and we're guessing we'll get mostly flowers, or candy or whatever it is, whatever you it is you have delivered at work so people know that you are loved.
I don't think it has to be at work. I think women do it to make guys jealous, too. So you could have it delivered at home.
Well, what's the point of doing it at home?
Guy shows
up.
There's
another guy there.
There's a bouquet of flowers. Where'd this? Oh,
well, wherever.
This guy.
Wherever it is. Wherever you send yourself flowers. If one in five truly do this, then that means 20% of the people listening have sent themselves flowers for Valentine's Day.
Do you think some people just do it not pretending they're from someone else?
Just because they are worth it?
Carrie Bradshaw married herself on Sex and the City.
Right, but that's Sex and the City, which
is... I don't know.
That's the devil's work, so we can't trust that.
Well, let me ask you this. And again, the phone number is 1-800-520-1067. Or, by the way, I'd be willing to talk to somebody if you work in an office or in a situation and somebody else, you know, somebody there has done this. I'd like to
know...
Right,
if you know someone who did it.
If you know someone. Because I'd like to know what it was like when it was revealed. Like, how embarrassing must that be for somebody who's trying to pull over a fast one and then it turns out that everybody knows they sent
themselves.
But I don't
know how anyone would find out, because you could put a note in there that says your secret admirer, XOXO.
Right. Well, you might tell your best friend or something.
No, would you?
Maybe.
You wouldn't tell your best friend you're sending yourself flowers.
I don't know. Yeah, it's your best friend.
Oh, you're dumb.
Put me in the mindset of a woman here, Lisa. How important is it to have that thing to show off on Valentine's Day?
Well, I don't the thing about getting them at work and showing everybody off, I don't know. I don't know how that. But if, you know what?
Type.
If you have it's not me, but if you have a super competitive office with women that aren't very nice
in every way, kind of.
Yeah. Then I could see that. I could see like a real big trump card playing that. And it would be pretty satisfying to see them all, you know, if you send yourself like this amazing bouquet and
it's bigger and better than everybody.
Yeah, I could see that.
But I would think you would win by being the woman who says, and again, I don't know anything about women. I've proven that over the years.
That's correct.
You would win by being the one who looks at her bouquet on the other desk and smiles and goes, well, you don't want to know what we got going on at home. You know what I mean? I mean, just leave it open-ended.
That
leave it mysterious.
Pathetic.
It just sounds like, really?
Nah, you're trying.
But doesn't that sound like you're not trying to compete with who gets flowers sent to work because you've got something so special that it doesn't have anything to do with work?
No one will buy that.
You're not competing. You didn't send them.
No one
Your
will buy
boyfriend
that.
Sent them or your husband sent them. You didn't know.
I think it would be worse, too, if you work in an office with a bunch of women and they all get something. Like if one or two out of 25 get something, no big deal.
Right.
But if 18 out of 25 get something, then all of a sudden the other seven, you know, I better send myself some flowers.
It's funny because the 18 sent themselves those flowers based on these statistics.
That's true.
Would you have guessed the first call we would get from somebody who sent flowers to herself is a himself? Is that what you would have expected to happen?
This interesting.
This is our man Mark, who's on line two, talking about the statistic of people sending flowers to themselves on Valentine's Day. Mark, what up?
Hi,
Mark.
So yeah, when I was in high school and middle school, my entire class for the most part would always get like flowers, candy, cards, etc. And for the most part, I wouldn't get anything. Like once in a while, a good friend of mine might give me a card, but that was like about it.
Why did everyone hate you?
It wasn't so much that they hated me.
It is though.
They just didn't like him.
Like, I was socially awkward at the time.
Yeah.
Like, back then, I was the nerdy, quiet guy who got straight A's in class.
Okay.
And didn't really feel comfortable, like, talking to people that much.
Didn't have a lot of friends.
Then.
So you sent yourself flowers in high school?
Yeah, back then. And it was kind of successful at home in helping me date, because chicks would see that other people vividly liked me. And so they're like, oh, Mark's not all bad guy, apparently. Someone likes him. Maybe I should give him the time of day and talk to him.
That does
totally like that.
That does work with girls.
Yes.
Yeah. If a guy gets a hot chick, then the rest of the girls go, hey, he's got something going on.
Yep.
Right. Right. Exactly.
You sent it to yourself in high school. That's unbelievable. Did anyone ever find out that it was you sending yourself?
I think maybe like my super close friends, I would tell them because they would be like in the same boat as me.
Mm-hmm.
And I would tell them like, hey, it works, you know. Give it a shot, but you got to like own up to it. You got to, you know.
Oh, I'm going right on Facebook and I'm telling everybody. I'm your best friend. I'm going to tell everybody on Facebook. Come on,
all right, Mark. Yeah. You're very brave to call with that embarrassing story. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Want to try Laura, or can Laura hold on?
Hopefully Laura can hold on. 1-800-520-1067. That's the phone number if you sent yourself flowers, or somebody in your office sends themselves flowers and you found out, or you send yourself
a
love letter.
Or a love note.
Or candy. Yeah, maybe send yourself candy just because you love candy. 1-800-520-1067.
Hey!
Good.
Nice.
106.7 K-Rock and Scarrow. Q is 24 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Congratulations again to Dave Grohl and the rest of Foo Fighters for winning all those Grammys for that song. That is Walk here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about the people, and it's a surprisingly high percentage that send themselves love letters and flowers for Valentine's Day. John writes in on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, Bean, my girl had a roommate that used to send herself flowers every other month. She told everyone that they were from an old boyfriend, but we found out it was from herself because we used her computer and we saw the 1-800-Flowers.com. Let's go to Laura right now as we take your calls on this topic. She's on line two. We're at 1-800-520-1067. If you've done this or know someone who has. Laura, hi. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for calling.
Good morning.
Hi there. You sending flowers to yourself?
No, not me, but there are a couple of girls in my office that do send themselves flowers.
And how do you know that?
Well, one of them would claim that they were from her mom. And in a couple of years after I met her, I told her mom, oh, I think that's sweet how you send your daughter flowers on Valentine's Day. And she's looking at me like, what are you talking about?
Busted.
What's the win though for claiming that your mom is sending you flowers? I don't even understand. I see you do that for, you know, to make up a boyfriend or a husband, but why your mom?
I don't know, because nobody has ever known that she's had a boyfriend, and everybody else in the office would get flowers. So I guess she felt that someone needed to send her flowers. But I was telling your screener, I don't get flowers, and it doesn't bother me.
It should. You're a loser.
That's because you have a boyfriend. No, a husband.
I'm actually married. I'm married. I tell my husband, don't spend $50 on flowers. Give me the $50. I'll buy something that I can
nice.
Use Amen. All year long, right?
Just I'm leave, right there with you,
just
Laura.
Just leave two 20s and a 10 on the table. That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling, Laura. We appreciate the story. I can understand. I bet there are people, particularly practical people, maybe like Laura, who just think flowers are a big fat waste of time because they're going to be dead in a week anyway, and who cares, right? I mean, it's not for everybody.
Right.
I guess, but I don't know. Sending to yourself is so bizarre. Let's go to Melody. Hi, Melody.
Hey.
You send flowers to yourself?
No, my boss sends flowers to herself.
Your boss does? How do you know?
Are we at work right now? Is that why we're whispering?
Yeah, because I'm at work right now.
How do you know that it's your boss that sends them to her? Do we have to whisper?
No, I think
we're right.
How do you know that it's your boss that sends you the flowers?
Okay, well, about 3 years ago, it's Valentine's Day, everyone's getting flowers, and she gets two huge bouquets coming.
Oh, right? She's going to one-up everybody.
Extravagant ones, right? Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Well, she asked, like, what's going on? What's the meaning of this? And he's like, look, lady, this is what you ordered last week when you came in. So I'm
That's
just doing my job.
Awesome.
It went down in office history.
That's fantastic.
All right. Yeah. Well, go hang up and don't get fired, Melody. Thank you very much.
Hey, Melody, when you talk softly, you should do the sex line. Okay. Thank you. Bye now.
I'll leave her two 20s and a 10 on the table. Christian, again, back on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. When I was in high school, there was a girl in my first period that came with a bunch of balloons and a dozen roses. She was bragging that her boyfriend that's in college gave them to her, which I guess what, Lisa? That's a pretty big deal if you're a high school girl, right? You got a college boyfriend. Little did she know that I had seen her that very morning at the Ralph's supermarket by our school begging her mom to buy her the balloons and the roses.
Oh, come on, Mom!
I could have called her out on it, but I decided not to. That was very nice of you, Christian. Yes. Thank you. All right, let's try. I guess
we got to do another dude.
Elizabeth, you hang on. We're going to get to you in a minute here. Ronnie is back on with us on line 7. Hi, Ronnie. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. You sent yourself flowers?
I sent myself flowers in a box of chocolate back in high school.
All right, what was going on there?
All right, so basically, I was like a loser up to ninth grade. 10th grade, I was like captain of a team and was in a band, so I had a chance with a hot girl, the really hot girl. So I was, I had a couple of dates with her before Valentine's Day, but, you know, she wasn't really catching on yet.
Oh, so this was targeted at one girl. You wanted her to think that there was somebody else interested, so she better step up.
There you go. You know, she was kind of hanging around with me, but she wasn't really making, you know, I could tell that she wasn't really, like, pulled in yet. Mm-hmm. And she was in my class that I knew that they hand out the flowers on. So, you know, I got myself a bunch of flowers and a box of chocolate, and it was like an anonymous thing. And she came up and asked me, and I was like, I don't know, someone must be into me. I don't know who it was, you know?
Did it work?
Oh, it worked out pretty well. I mean, the next time I went out with her, you know, I hooked up with her, and, you know, I got the hottest girl in school. It gave me a good reputation later on.
Ah, check that out.
All right.
Lacey, you were right. That was one of your theories, is that's why some people order stuff for themselves, is just for the competitive angle there.
Yeah.
Listen to this one, by the way. I love this. This is from Kumi. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Hey, Kevin Bean and Lisa Ding. I'm listening to the conversation about sending yourself flowers. I'm cracking up because I totally did that. It wasn't just Valentine's Day, but pretty often two of the bitchiest, dumbest married women in the office got flowers from their husbands. Well, I was single most of the time I worked with them, and I also worked a lot. I had the disposable income to do it, so I ordered myself a bouquet of the month from a company with luxury bouquets. I loved it. Every month I got flowers and often was the envy of the rest of the office. I did it because I really liked flowers, had no one to send them to me, and I really wanted to make a statement that not just the bitchy, dumb, married women got flowers. I ordered them online, so on the order form, I wrote a note to myself, and I always signed it from Jesus, even though I'm an atheist. Thanks for all the entertainment and the laughs. I guess she was just tired of seeing the married women that she didn't like always talk about how awesome their husbands were, and she wanted to play too. So Kumi sounds pretty happy about
it. Yeah. Jesus sends flowers to atheists on a regular basis?
Every month.
I can't imagine.
All right. Let's go to Amy real quick. Amy is defending the practice of sending oneself flowers. Amy, this is something you do.
Yeah, I don't think it's a problem at all. I don't think that if nobody else is going to send me the flowers, then why not send them to myself?
Right, but wait a minute. I totally agree with you if you're confessing that you bought them for yourself because you like flowers, not if you're pretending that they're from somebody else.
No, I buy them for myself, and I don't pretend they're from anybody. When they come to me at my office or wherever, when people ask, oh, who are they from? I tell them, and they're from me.
Okay.
Good for you.
Nice.
I agree with you. I think that's fine. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Look, if you like having flowers on your desk, buy yourself flowers and put them on the desk. I think that's fine. That's a little different than what we're talking about here, but thanks. And maybe one day you'll get a man, too.
Oh, Bean.
Stop it, Bean. Why are you such an a-hole?
No, come on.
You're an a-hole.
Yeah.
That's not an a-hole.
You're an a-hole.
Eventually, let's go to Elizabeth line 4. Eventually, maybe someone else will buy flowers for her and she won't have to buy them for herself. I'm just saying that would be nice. That's all.
Elizabeth.
Yes.
Hi.
Is this going to be the saddest call we've ever taken?
No.
All right, let's
just ignore him.
What happened, Elizabeth?
When I was pregnant, my husband cheated on me, so I left him.
Okay. All right. And Kevin, not sad at all so far.
So far, so good.
Better off without him. But Valentine's Day rolled around, and I had a 6-month-old daughter, and I worked in a young professional office. All the women there were in relationships getting flowers. And, you know, so I was like, wow, I kind of feel a little left out. So I called the florist, had flowers delivered to me under my daughter's name.
Your daughter's how old?
She was 6 months old at the time.
That's something. Something that a 6-month old could send you flowers.
6 months old with a credit card.
Nice.
But it worked out because there was a hot guy in accounting that walked by my desk and asked, you know, well, who sent you the flowers? And I said, yeah, my daughter.
You did admit it. You did say up front. Okay. All right.
And he ended up taking me out to lunch that day.
Because he felt sorry for you.
No, we started dating. He didn't know I was available.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And?
We probably dated for about 5 or 6 years.
Before?
Oh.
5 or 6 years.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That worked well.
Yeah, it did. I think it's not a sad story.
I'm going to say that's not a sad story.
All right.
Well, I mean, the whole thing where your husband cheats on you when you're pregnant, and then you're stuck with a newborn, and then you send yourself flowers. You got to understand, on paper, that looks pretty sad. But managed to pull it off with a pretty good attitude. So well done, Elizabeth. Thank you for the call.
Not lemons, open a lemonade stand.
There you go.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Brad Williams.
Yeah.
Hey,
welcome
Brad.
To the studio.
It's Valentine's Day, and I'm not dressed as Cupid, but I don't know.
You should be. You should be dressed as
Cupid. Yeah, we bring you midgets for Valentine's Day.
That's correct.
Better than chocolates.
That's how we roll.
Last longer.
That's true.
Well, I don't know. I don't have any experience in that.
This is true. But yeah, but if you're sitting at home today in L.A. and you don't have a Valentine's date, I got something for you.
Okay.
Come out to the Viper Room tonight. there's a stand-up show, and a karaoke slash pole dancing competition.
Whoa! Whoa! Whoa!
That's his Valentine's Day.
That's a Valentine's Day.
So you got karaoke.
And, yes.
And a pole.
And a pole.
Now, are they going on at the same time?
Yes, they are.
Oh, sweet.
Karaoke plus pole dancing.
Did you create this just for you?
This is
Valentine's Day to
this
you.
This is just awesomeness. No, a great comedian named Sam Tripoli created this, and I'm gonna be performing on the show and also judging because my life's awesome.
Sure. And you're gonna work the pole.
That probably at some point yeah. I'll have half a shot of Jack and that'll mess me up and then I'll be like, that's a pull. I should go swinging on it. Because, you know, that's just a bucket list thing for people. You know, to see a little person on a pole, that's just magic right
Look,
there.
To see a little person fill in the blank
anything
is in everybody's yeah. bucket yeah. list.
And in true Brad Williams fashion, there will be, I think we have at least 12 porn stars confirmed to be there, probably closer to 19.
Is this your posse now? Do they follow you everywhere?
You said it the last time I was here. You said Brad Williams, king of porn.
He is. And he's the king of porn.
So many people tweeted me that afterward. They're like,
you're the king
of porn.
He tweets pictures like every other day. Here's me and porn star so-and-so. And, you know,
but I don't want people to think like I'm elitist, like that I only go for those, you know, for like porn stars or dancers or stuff like
you
that.
You have low standards. I'll tell them.
I've been with a 310-pound woman.
Sure.
Exactly.
Sure.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Brad says
Jacksonville, Florida. It
oh
happened.
Oh my God. Were you fearing for your life?
Yeah, because no. You could be lost forever.
Well, to me, it was like it was thing. And she told me the story, and she was really lonely. But like, I was like, you know what? Darn it, I'm gonna hook you up. And like,
now, whoa, so this yeah. was you feeling bad for her?
Yeah, okay. I mean, kind of weird that you have a mercy bang from a midget, but whatever.
Hey, listen, wherever you can get it from.
But like, and I don't do anything half. I go in like, because I know that when I'm having sex, I'm having sex on behalf of all little people.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
you have to represent.
Exactly. Uh-huh. So I look at them, I don't care. You're 310, I'm 110. I don't care. Let's do this.
Uh-huh.
What can I do to please you? What's your favorite position? She goes, I loved on top.
What? Because I'm thinking you're climbing Mount Kilimanjaro, but that's not what happened.
At that point, you go, no, 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 no.
Yeah,
you...
it's like, I don't need my sex toys at this point to include a grappling hook.
Oh, my God.
But I don't, like, I'm like, all right.
Here's what I love about Brad. He's a little person.
Yes.
A midget.
Yes.
Which he doesn't mind the word.
Not at all.
So that's why we use it.
Don't care.
He really has worked this whole thing to his advantage.
Because absolutely.
He says women of all different kinds, that's one of their fantasies
yeah.
or things that they want to do is to be with a little person. He's
yeah.
more than willing
but
to help.
But, Brad, going into this mm-hmm. nobody has to be more surprised than you that this is how this is unfolding for you. Because this cannot be when you said, I'm going to be a comedian and
nope.
I'm going to get lots of tail. That cannot have been your thought.
Not my thought at all, but a lovely side effect. That's why I'm so confused whenever people are uncomfortable around little people, and that's why I'm kind of going on a anti-Rosie O'Donnell rant right now.
No,
why, what
did
she
do?
On her show, and yeah, she's got a show. Who knew?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
She has a show on Oprah Winfrey's network. She was interviewing Chelsea Handler, stimulating television.
Yeah.
And she admitted to Chelsea that she has a fear of little people.
But don't you think that's common?
She's afraid.
Don't you think some people are afraid of clowns, some people are afraid
now,
of little people.
I get if you're
clowns,
afraid.
Little people, pretty much the same thing.
No, don't get, yeah, I'm not. We usually come in the same car.
I'm just kidding.
don't think my anti-Rosie stuff is anti-gay. I'm not anti-gay at all. I love beer mugs tattoos.
Good.
You know,
good. That's
proof. You know what I mean? But it's just that she's so, like, treat everyone equal, and if anyone ever says anything
especially
wrong
when
about
it comes
gays.
Like, about gays, yes.
Yeah, she
yes.
really attacks them, uh-huh. and she said that little people are scary, and to me it's like, Rosie, you're a lesbian and you have a vagina. I think your vagina is going to be way scarier than any midget on the planet.
I think so too.
You know what I mean? And we all know
people are genuinely
yeah.
afraid of
I think
little
she
people.
Is. And my whole thing is, Pete, like, we are more scared of your vagina, Rosie, and we all know what it looks like. We've seen Return of the Jedi. We saw that pit where they were slowly digested over 1,000 years. That was
it? I didn't realize they used her for that.
That was the co-star.
Wow.
That was like one of her first movies.
I had no idea.
And it's like her thing has to be about the same size as a midget, right? It's got to be about 3 feet.
Probably.
I mean, if I was standing next to Rosie O'Donnell's vagina, I don't know if you would think it was just me and like an Armenian midget. Like next to me.
I think it's a black hole that could potentially suck
you in. Wow.
That could be dangerous. Lisa's turning it up.
I like this, Lisa.
She's turning it
You're
up.
You're like all the little planets start, you know, coming in.
Yeah.
So she said on TV that she's scared of little people.
Yeah. So here's my solution.
All right.
Midget flash mob.
I like
wow,
it.
Oh, that would be so
we
awesome.
We go to her studio like and just it. Me and like
the 12 whole audience is
yeah.
made up. Oh, I like
and
it.
And we just go do this. We just show up and maybe we'll have like maybe we'll start doing like a choreographed Oompa Loompa dance or something.
Good.
Like
do you think sounds you could like, actually make this happen?
Oompa Loompa doompa da dee.
I don't think he
we
has
don't
the...
know why you're scared of me.
I don't think he has the energy to follow through on that. But
I love it.
If you did, it would be awesome. Maybe it would scare her off TV.
Ooh.
You'd be a hero. You'd right? be a national hero.
I would get a medal for that.
Wow. That'd be fantastic. Brad, where are you playing in town?
Well, tonight it's at the Viper Room.
Viper Room,
and
right.
then and
that's where you can do karaoke and pole dance.
It's a right. Valentine's Day extravaganza.
Yeah, yeah. So come out for that, and then in not next week, but the week after. I think it's the 24th and 25th. I'll be at Pechanga, mm-hmm. the casino down
casino?
There.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be at the comedy club down there. Make the drive down to Temecula and gamble and see me tell some jokes. It'll be fun.
Check off your bucket list.
Exactly.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, you're going to do the showbiz for Ralph.
I'm going to substitute for Ralph. I'm going to do my best, and let's see how this goes.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Brad Williams, comedian.
Yeah.
Woo! Woo-hoo.
I'm here.
Here to fill in for Ralph Garman on the showbiz beat.
Do my best, everyone. All right. Show business news. Let's get to it. Porn star Kim Kardashian's in the news.
Yeah. Yes.
I like that you know to call her that. That's the best.
I'm a fan of the show. Right. I know. She apparently was spotted at the Beverly Hills Hotel the other day on a date with her ex, Reggie Bush.
What?
Yeah.
I thought that was long over.
Right. And you think, you're looking at Reggie like, dude.
Yes.
You escaped.
You dodged that bullet.
You got out. You were free. And now you're coming back?
He wants more of the Kardashian
what
family?
What is wrong with you? If they get back together, I mean, there's no McRib. Kim Kardashian is in a relationship. Black people have nothing during their month. Nothing.
It's not a good
it's
month.
It's terrible. Screw February at that point. So yeah, Reggie, just run away.
Yeah.
Celebrity bromance
He can do that.
News.
He can run
yeah.
away.
Yes, he can run. He's good at that. Celebrity bromance news. Not romance, but bromance. Apparently, Jonah Hill, Brad Pitt, they're all buddy-buddy now after
Best
their
friends.
Moneyball money thing. The rumor actually is that Jonah has told Brad that if he marries Allie Hoffman, his current girlfriend, daughter of Dustin Hoffman, that Brad will be the best man at the wedding.
Wow, they really are best friends.
That's
yeah.
BS right
Poor
there.
Poor George. Is he just pushing George right out?
Right?
And then, that's BS, though, isn't it? I mean, you go, like, oh, best man? Oh, yeah. well, Brad Pitt. Maybe you've heard of him. Yeah.
So, but here's the thing, though. Here's my thing. Is if you're at a wedding, you're getting married.
Right.
Do you really want your best man to be that better looking than you?
Yeah, no one's going to look at
Jonah.
That's a
good because your wife-to-be is going to be looking right past you.
Right, going, wait, that's out there?
Yeah.
I got Jonah Hill.
Who we love.
Who we love. Who's
and yet,
great.
And yet.
But yet, when Brad Pitt's staying next to you, you know, like Kim, talk trash on Kim Kardashian. But when she got married, she had Khloe. Right
that's
next to
true. That is
smart
true.
Move.
That is
smart
true.
Move. So Jonah, just maybe move Brad down the line. Groomsman.
Rethink it just a bit.
Groomsman. All right. Nicki Minaj catching some grief from
yeah,
the
did you hear it?
Catholic League. Bill Donahue.
Why? Because she showed up at the Pope and then did some kind of a dance.
Who knew that would be offensive? Who knew doing a mock exorcism, crucifixion, confession? I always thought Catholics were such tolerant people. Anyway, but yes, Bill Donahue saying that it was exploitive, it was wrong, and that they wouldn't make fun of Jews or Islam, but they would do that to Catholics. And I'm just like, I don't know. I think it made a lot of sense. I think Nicki Minaj walking on the red carpet with a priest made sense because her music molests my ears.
There's the
okay,
tie-in.
So it's like
I didn't see that tie-in immediately.
I saw it and I was like, all right, got that. And I don't. And they're like, well, but it's not Islam and not Jews. Well, hello. Because if you make fun of Islam, they kill you. Make fun of Jews, you don't work in Hollywood.
Right.
She's smart. Good job, Nicki. Keep it up. P. Diddy Went to the hospital.
No, no kidding.
Yeah, he was rushed to UCLA Medical Center Sunday night after his Grammy party at the Playboy Mansion. The reason? Migraine headaches.
Oh, at the Playboy Mansion?
Yeah, he leaves the Playboy Mansion because of migraine headaches. And sources say it causes the migraine headaches. Playing too much of Diddy's music at the party.
Could be.
So there you go. Could Diddy, why are you leaving? I don't care if I'm shot at the Playboy Mansion. I don't leave. Oh, I kind of have a head. No! You stick it out, soldier! Get back in there and finish your job!
But I cut my leg off.
I don't care! There's only one appendage that if I lose, I'm leaving the Playboy Mansion, and I promise you, not a leg. Third leg.
Same size.
Maybe. Love you for that one. All right, it is Tuesday. That means we got new releases on CD and DVD. And perfect for Valentine's Day. For a nice romantic,
yeah.
If you need your romantic music, we got Blood for the Master by Goat Whore.
Yes. Wow, good timing.
Nothing sets the mood like Goat Whore.
That's true.
Let me tell you. Sweet Sour by Band of Skulls, Arrow by Heartless Bastards. So get that. On DVD today, The Rum Diary, starring Johnny Depp and Giovanni Ribisi. That was the Hunter S. Thompson story. I really liked that movie. I saw it. It was good. Paranormal Activity 3 is out today. And the movie that I thought was snubbed in the Oscar race, I think we could all agree on this. Human Centipede 2 is out, everybody.
What? Yeah.
I couldn't, no Best Picture?
I couldn't do that one.
No Best Picture?
I couldn't do that
one. Best performance by someone who's attached to another human being?
I don't think we have that category.
We couldn't make a category for that?
No.
All right. Well, let's get to celebrity birthdays then. These people born on Valentine's Day. Actress Florence Henderson is 78. A good-looking 78.
Dang.
If you have that category.
You know
what?
I mean,
look, I'm not saying she's a sex symbol, but for 78, she looks unbelievable.
I say half a bell. Half a bell, man.
Half.
Half a bell.
Okay.
TV personality Pat O'Brien from The Insider, Access Hollywood. What are you wearing?
Just look at me and say yes.
He is 64 years old today. Magician Teller of Penn & Teller. Is also 64. When I'm 64. When reached for comment, Teller had this to say.
See, because he doesn't talk.
Because he doesn't talk.
He's the quiet one.
Oh, I'm so funny.
How do you do it?
Quality comedy on this one. Actor Zach Galligan. You know him from Gremlins?
Mm-hmm.
Gremlins, Zach Galligan.
Sure.
He's 48. Simon Pegg.
Funny in everything.
Awesome.
We all love Simon Pegg.
Stole Mission Impossible from Tom Cruise. Stole it.
Great. And also in his movie Paul, he had a little person play Paul in the little motion suit, so employs little people. I'm a fan. Good job, Simon Pegg. Bassist Kevin Blades of Lit is 40. Also part owner of the Slide Bar. So go to the Slide Bar today in Fullerton and support Kevin Blades.
That's right across the street from you.
From me. So I'll probably be there too. Yeah. Oh, no. It's just for the birthday. Huh. And then singer Rob Thomas of Matchbox 20 is 40. I am Brad Williams. Follow me on Twitter at FunnyBrad. And that is the Showbiz Beat.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. And it is 9 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yep.
Yeah. Yes.
Good. There we go. Hey, I got a question for
you. It's funny how Bean's gone for Brad Williams, and then all of a sudden Allison Hayslip shows up in the studio.
There's Bean. He's back. Allison.
Ding, ding, ding.
How about that?
My question was, who's better than Allison Hayslip? And the answer, ladies and gentlemen, is no one. No one is better than Allison Hayslip.
Thanks, guys.
Fake applause. Good. She is here, of course. We know her from, she gets fired from most of her jobs. We know her from being on G4 for 20 minutes, being on The Voice for 15 minutes.
Yep.
And now we're going to talk about your new project on Hulu.com called Battleground.
Hopefully I'll be on it a little longer.
But what's the deal? You seem nice, and you're very pretty, and you seem very talented and competent. Why can't you hold a job, girlfriend? What's going on here?
I'm too likable.
That's why.
I have no idea. Honestly, I have no clue. Every time I have been, I mean, I've never actually been fired. Let's put that out
because
there.
Because you leave before they were going to fire you, or
kidding about that.
Just because
my whole life has just been timing. Like things just like either don't work out and then do work out. But I mean, every time I have been well, we'll just say fired, even though that's not the right term. Right. But every time I've been fired,
every time disagreement.
Yes, yeah. Something better comes my way. You know, like the voice came, and then the voice went, and now Battlegrounds come, and so I can't complain about any of it. It's all worked out the way it's supposed to.
Why didn't you want to stay? And please forgive me. I'm not trying to make this difficult for you, but I'm fascinated because you get a hold of a show like The Voice, which let's face it, is one of the biggest shows in America now. You were on it from the beginning of season one. Who knew how it was going to be? But I mean, it's such a huge hit. Don't you kind of regret not still being a part of that?
Absolutely not. No.
Really?
I mean, first off,
was hell.
Who
was
hell on
that show?
No one was hell on the show. I mean, working on the show was so fantastic and so much fun. And I mean, we really did become a family on that show. But you know, when you kind of break it down, being on a reality music competition for 10 plus years is not something that I ever really wanted to do.
That's not your goal.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, must suck for Ryan Seacrest, yeah. Right?
No, I mean, he's making way more money. I'm pretty sure Ryan Seacrest paid all my checks that came from G4, by the way.
Is that right?
Well, you know, G4E, they're all related. Sure. I was right. Every check was signed by Ryan Seacrest.
Sure.
But Battleground was such an amazing opportunity. And, you know, even though my paycheck was like a percentage of what I made on The Voice, I wouldn't have traded that for the world.
Now, tell us about Battleground, because I don't think anyone's seen it yet. It's just, does it come out today?
It came out, it was posted at midnight last night.
Midnight last night.
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you've probably already been fired from it, right?
I've already been fired. Yeah. So we're here to talk about my resignation.
So where is this? It's not on TV, it's on Hulu.
It's on Hulu. Okay. It's Hulu's first originally produced scripted series.
Okay.
Nice. So Hulu is now their own network, basically. Mm-hmm. They're producing their own shows. They're putting them out there. And Battleground is very much in the vein of The Office and Parks and Rec. It's a mockumentary style type show. And it's a true half hour long show. We want to make sure people don't think it's like a web series or something like that.
Right, like 5 minutes.
Right, exactly. And it follows the world of campaigns. It follows a group of campaign workers as they're trying to get this woman who's running for Senate within the state of Wisconsin elected. And Wisconsin's considered a battleground state, hence the name of the show.
Battleground.
Yeah.
Now, it's interesting to hear that and I understand why you say this, because The Office and Parks and Rec, great shows, people know what you're talking about, but it's not as wacky as those are. I watched the first two episodes. It's not as wacky as that. It also has a little bit of this, of, you know, what the thrill that you got from watching The West Wing, for instance, of watching all the political shenanigans and the posturing and the campaigning and stuff. I mean, it's really, really well done on a series note as well.
Thank you. Yeah, it really is a true dramedy. And we don't have a lot of dramedies. I don't know if we have any dramedies on TV right now. I mean, the last one I can think of is Wonder Years, you know, the first half hour long dramedy. So because all my friends were like, you're on a sitcom. And I'm like, well, yeah, it's definitely funny, but it's not, like you said, wacky and
it's
zany.
It's not sitcom-y.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly.
You really shoot it in Madison, Wisconsin?
Yes, I was in Madison, Wisconsin, beautiful tropical Madison, Wisconsin, for 2 months.
I hope
really nice people.
Oh my God, it was the greatest.
They're amazingly nice people.
Great beer,
aren't they?
Great cheese. Yep. It was a fabulous place.
You know
why
you go to great beer first? Because that's what you do when you're in Madison, Wisconsin. You drink.
No, we shot literally behind a bowling alley called the Badger Bowl. Uh-huh. And so anytime we wrapped, we would just walk over to the bowling alley and drink.
What type of year did you shoot?
Oh, we were there mid-October to mid-December, so, you know, the warmest time of the year.
That's so nice in Madison at that time of the year.
Oh, man.
I was just in Madison on vacation in June and just had a fantastic time there. It was so weird to see you guys walking down that street up to the Capitol
go to Madison for vacation?
Listen, hold on. Bean goes to places no one else wants
got
to
it,
go
got
to.
It.
Bean went to Blythe on vacation.
What?
I went to Chicago this summer, and I drove up to – I wanted to visit Lambeau Field because I was so close. I said, hey, I've never been to Lambeau Field. I want to go visit the hallowed ground, you know. So I went and stopped through – you know, spent a couple of days in Madison on my way. That's what it was.
And what else did you see while you were there?
What else did I
see? Did you see the House of Foam and all that crap?
Well, I go, of course, yeah. I'm going to go to Wisconsin Dells.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that you chose – why did they choose Wisconsin as the battleground for this series?
J.D. Walsh, the writer-director, and Mark Webb, our executive producer, are both from Madison.
Oh. Okay.
J.D., I believe, is born and raised, and Mark went to college out there.
Should we change our tone then? It's the best place ever?
Yeah, it's the best place ever. No, but because of that, like, and J.D. actually worked on Kerry's campaign back in 2004. He
really?
Was an actual campaign volunteer. So he saw how these campaigns work and thought that was, like, you know, his inspiration for writing this show. So he said it in his home town because basically everybody hooked us up. out there. You know, everyone wanted us to shoot out here. You shoot in L.A., you want to shoot in a restaurant, they're like, sure, give us $10,000.
Yeah, right.
In Madison, they're like, please come in. We'll shut down our whole day just for you guys.
Free beer.
I know, exactly. So.
It's so interesting to see how dirty politics is, even at a senatorial level in Wisconsin.
I mean, I was
the mudslinging that goes on and stuff.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
When I read all the scripts, I actually afterwards asked J.D., I was like, where did you find out, like, where did you come up with these ideas for the things that happened?
Did it sound
he was like
it was too far out?
Some of the things are crazy. Like, there's actually things like voter suppression and stuff like that that happens. And you know, that's what this show kind of focuses on, these weird tricks that happen within campaigns. It's not really about the politics at all. I mean, our candidate happens to be a Democratic candidate, but she's really an ancillary character. The show's scripted.
It's not about her specifically.
No,
it's
exactly.
About you and the other group.
Yeah. So, should hopefully we go on to other seasons, we'll have different candidates, you know, with different views and things like that.
The show is called Battleground. It debuts today on Hulu.com with new episodes every Tuesday. How many have you made, Allison?
13. We did a whole first
Fantastic.
Season.
And yeah. You know you're not going to get canceled. How awesome is that, by the way? You know that all 13 of them are going to show.
I won't get fired for the first season.
And on Hulu, you can watch it whenever you want.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yes.
That's the greatest thing about
it's
it.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love the future of where everything is converging, where there's no such thing as just TV anymore. Now it doesn't matter whether it's a Netflix series and they've got their own, whether it's a Hulu series, whether it's coming from cable. I mean, it just is all going to show up on one box in your living room.
Exactly.
And you get to choose, which is just it's a fortunate time to be a fan of entertainment with the internet. I'll tell you that. It's great stuff. All right. We have to take a break and leave it right there for right now. Again, Hulu.com/battleground if you want to check it out. Allison Hayslip is our guest here on the Kevin DeBean Show. We'll be right back.
I'll carry you home tonight.
Oh, why is that song so good, you guys? Come on.
Did you just go, oh?
Dude.
That is called We Are Young, which Allison Hayslip in studio just told us she saw on Glee for the first time. Thank
I did.
You.
I just admitted I watched Glee.
Right. What's wrong with that?
Or was it an accident? It was just on.
No, I've watched every single episode of Glee. It's no accident.
Right. Okay. The song again called We Are Young. The band is called Fun, period. Not just fun, but fun, period. It's actually part of their name. And they have the lovely Janelle Monáe helping her out on that song called We Are Young. Allison Hayslip is here in studio on The Kevin DeBean Show. She's one of our all-time favorite guests. She may just be the perfect woman because you look at her and you go, my God, she's hot. And then she's a great actress. And then she's got all the geek credentials from G4. And then during the song, she casually is mentioning what a huge sports fan she is and how she loves football. And I'm thinking,
plus, you know, she loves video games. I mean, come on.
Yes. She loves it. There's got to be something very her vagina must have teeth or something.
Oh,
there's something.
Well, let's ask. Does you know your vagina have teeth?
It does not. But what's hysterical is that Kevin Pereira on G4 at Attack of the Show, that was his joke for me constantly.
Oh, really?
He's like, your vagina has teeth. No, every single day.
Well, because we see all the positives over here on this side, and we think, what could the negative be that would balance those
it's
out?
Hidden.
And that's about the only thing.
We've met a lot of people, and there's always a downside.
Right.
So we're going to find it.
My downside is I get fired from everything I do.
Can't keep it going.
How did you were telling us also at the end of that song that you met a couple of the Giants,
Victor
Cruz
yes.
and Manny. How did you meet them? Were you at the Grammys or
I was at the Grammys. I was hosting Grammy Live this weekend. And
what?
Yeah, which was completely random for me, but it was a very cool experience.
What is Grammy Live?
So Grammy.com lives streams 72 hours of live footage from the leading up to and through the Grammys.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have various hosts who cover the events and things like that. So I was hosting it with John Norris from MTV days.
Oh, okay.
Sure. So Mario Manningham and Victor Cruz presented an award on the Grammys, which all of us were like, what?
Yeah, what's
going
happening?
On? And then they walked backstage and our producer pulled them over for an interview. And I was like, I'm doing it. Me. And I was telling them before the interview, I was like, guys, I'm like the biggest Giants fan. I have to show you a picture of me from Super Bowl Sunday. And they're kind of like, yeah, okay, cool, whatever. And we're talking and we do the interview. And then after the interview, I show them this picture of me where I'm in like, you know, my Giants t-shirt and my Giants hoodie. And I had this giant inflatable Giants helmet that I wore the entire game. Did not take it off my head once.
That's the real one that Eli Manning has to wear.
Exactly. And I showed them that picture and they both were like, that's awesome.
You really are, yeah. Because I'm sure they hear everywhere they go, oh, I'm the biggest Giants fan, but you had some proof to back it up.
Exactly.
And by the way, I don't know if you had a chance to talk to him about this. I didn't see any interviews after the game because NBC gave us the very short shrift on the post-game show. But does Manningham know how unbelievably crazy that catch was that he kept those feet in bounds to give the Giants an opportunity to score? I mean, that was a ridiculous catch.
Yeah, you know, I actually asked them what their favorite moment from the Super Bowl was, and Victor Cruz said Mario's catch.
Oh, is that right?
Wow. Yeah, and then Mario's very humble. He's very like, oh, yeah, thanks, man. And Victor was like, man, that's up there with David Tyree, you know, like catching the football on his helmet, in what, 2008? Right. Then that happened.
It's been a good time to be a Giants fan in the last 5 years, hasn't it?
It really has, but I mean, like, I'm born and raised a Giants fan, so you just have this feeling in you that they'll like build your hopes up enough to dash them on the rocks right
at
the end.
There are so many teams where fans feel like the same thing, which is, oh, this is going to be an exciting year. Oh, we're doing well. Oh, how
do you can't say that if you win 2 Super Bowls in 4 years, though. You're not allowed to ever complain about being let down.
But both Super Bowls were just right. Like, if you had asked me at the beginning of both of those seasons that we were going to win a Super Bowl, I would have been like, nah, maybe. I don't know.
Well, they shouldn't have.
Yeah, I know.
They were, what, 9-8 or something like that? They really did turn it on right at the end.
I know. Jay Hayden, the guy who's the lead in Battleground, he's also a massive Giants fan.
Oh,
so we're out in Wisconsin, and every time there's a Giants game, he and I are like huddled around the TV, and everyone else is a Packers fan.
Sure.
Yeah. Every single other person.
And by the way, I'm glad you brought up Jay. He's so good on this show that Allison Haislip is in. And if you're just joining us, we are talking about the program called Battleground. You won't find it on television. It is on Hulu.com with new episodes every Tuesday. Jay, to me, he's like a young, like, Benjamin Bratton or somebody is who he looks like, right? Charismatic, good-looking guy, and a terrific actor. And you were telling us something before we brought you on the air that I thought was super interesting.
Yeah.
Because this show was shot for Hulu, or is now on Hulu, you didn't have to hire stars, right? You didn't have to have people like the network might make you have, hey, we need a few known entities in there, right?
To pull in the ratings and stuff like that. Yeah, Hulu.
We need to have Betty White. She's hot right now. She's all funny.
Hulu really trusted JD, the writer-director of this. They really trusted him with this show. They was like, this is your baby. You do what you want to do with it. I mean, Hulu had to have approval on everything, but everybody JD brought in.
So they left him alone pretty much to do his thing.
And my character actually was – my character was originally Ali. It was originally a guy. And through a random – so Jay, the lead of the show, he and I have known each other for a few years. We've actually been in acting class together. And he booked the job first and then was talking about it, getting our class really excited about it. But there was no role for it in me. I mean, role
in it for,
in it for me. Yeah. Right. And then, like, 2 weeks later, my manager called me up and she's like, I got you an audition for this show called Battleground. And I was like, for what role? That makes no sense. And they sent me the sides. And JD randomly decided to see women for the show, but he didn't tell Hulu. He just saw them on a whim. They liked me. They brought me in to test me. It was me and two guys testing for the role. They still didn't tell Hulu. They just sent the tapes to Hulu, and they were like, "There's kind of a surprise." And when Hulu saw me do it, they were like, "Yep, we like the girl. We want it to be a girl."
Did they call first and go, "Is that a dude?" Because she doesn't look like a dude.
Sure.
That does not look like a dude.
And then it kind of helped that I walked in there and I was like, "Well, the character can just be called Allie because that's my name. Like, I'm Allison Allie." You know,
yeah,
so
exactly.
It totally worked.
Right.
Yeah.
So J.D. Walsh is the writer-producer. He's behind 2.5 Men, I guess. He's one of the producers of 2.5 Men.
No.
Right?
He's an actor. J.D.'s actually an actor.
Oh, he's an actor on 2.5 Men.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
He was the delivery guy. I've never watched a single episode of that show.
But
apparently,
right.
He was the delivery guy on that show.
And is it true that the series has been directed by Mark Webb, who did 500 Days of Summer?
No, Mark Webb's the executive producer. J.D. directed
the
series.
Why did they give me all this bad information? That's what I want to know.
Don't trust Wikipedia.
Freaking Chip. Chip who sends us this information. Every bit of it is wrong.
Right.
It is on Hulu.
It is on Hulu.
Yeah, that much we got right.
And you can watch it for free on Hulu. A lot of people ask if it's only on Hulu Plus, but no, it is for free on Hulu.
And you can watch it anytime you want.
Yep.
I'm going to tell you that Dave sent out a link so that we could get in and look at the show last night. And I thought, well, I'll check it out for 5 or 10 minutes just to get the feel of it so I know what I'm talking about when Allison comes in. And I got hooked. And I watched all the first episode, and then I watched all of the second episode, and it ends on such a cliffhanger. And I'm, like, so burned right now that episode 3 isn't up yet. So I can't wait for it. It's terrific, Allison. It really is.
Thank you. Episode 3 and 4 is when my character starts getting more developed, too. So I'm excited for those to come
out. I see some
well.
Love. I see some love for Allie.
No, there's no love for Allie.
Really?
Well, because... Like I said, my character was originally written as a guy, so there was no love story written for him.
I see gay love coming up. That's what
I
see.
Yes, there is a lesbian scene in it.
Well,
people
look,
will watch
know,
it more than right.
I know that next time we see you, you will have lost this job too. But I'm really glad that we got a chance to talk to you about it. But
thanks.
You are awesome, and I'm so happy we got to spend our Valentine's Day with you, Allison. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
106.7 K Rock is KROQ, and it is 20 minutes till 9 o'clock.
Hey. I miss Allison Haislip so much.
She just left.
Yeah.
I know, but it's not the same without her, though. It's worse.
She's
not as good.
Woman. She is the perfect
one. She's pretty flawless. Pretty hard to find anything wrong with her. Yeah. Lisa, you should be more like Allison Hayslip.
Too late.
Okay. But now you got me, Bean.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Tuesday. Very excited about the 9 o'clock hour this morning. Allison, excuse me. I have Allison on the brain. Mm-hmm. Anderson Silva is going to be joining us. He is the middleweight champion of the world in the UFC. Kevin has said repeatedly, up to and including today, that he is going to kick his ass. I'm looking forward to that. And we have many questions for the champ coming up. First, though, Dave the King of Mexico is in studio. Beer Mug is in studio. I understand that a wager has broken out between you two.
Oh,
what's going on?
Beer Mug is dumb. Let me just start
Come
with
on.
That.
Come on. Why you gotta start
listen,
with that?
I love Beer Mug, but he's not a very smart guy. Okay?
He doesn't always make the best decision.
Yes. He leads with his heart, not with his head. Yeah. So we made another bet. We have to start it on the air because this is one of those things where Dave is going to pay Beer Mug $100. And
credits.
I'm going to pay Beer Mug 100 credits.
This isn't betting on sports, though, so I think it actually can be dollars.
Okay, dollars.
just in case it's somehow illegal, it's credit dollars.
Okay.
So Beer Mug is going to lose.
Nope. Nope, I'm not. I am not going to lose.
How much weight?
Oh, wait.
My question. I wasn't finished yet. I was going to say.
And
how
that's
much,
why he's a good interviewer.
How much weight?
Oh, yeah.
My goal is to lose 30 pounds by June 1st, which is, a little over
that's
3 months.
Three and a half months from now, right.
30 pounds by June 1st.
Now,
that's doable.
Mm-hmm. It's totally doable.
Yes, but not for Beer Mug.
Exactly. Why? You know, this is the way it started out. We were at the Grammy Roundtable, and Beer Mug's like, oh, you know, I got to lose weight, got to lose weight, got to lose weight. And then he says, I'm going to lose 30 pounds by June 1st. And I go, no, you're not. And we started arguing, so I go, I'll bet you. Because either way, I figure if I lose the bet and he does actually lose the weight, then that's good for Beer Mug.
Agreed.
And I'm happy to give him that money. And good job to Beer Mug.
So that he can go out and gain that weight immediately in one
exactly.
night at dinner.
But then in my head, I'm thinking, dude, this is an easy money-making opportunity for me.
Yeah.
So we made the bet.
Because what was he doing at the Grammy Roundtable all day?
Cookies, you know, sodas, everything.
I've never seen anybody like Beer Mug.
Dwayne bites, he's like, I gotta lose weight.
We're convinced that Beer Mug doesn't eat outside of the station. You know, like,
I hope
like
not.
He leaves here and then, no, I'm saying leaves here and he goes home and there's no food. Because when he comes in and we send somebody for food, like today we send somebody to Subway, they go get some food, they bring us some food. Beer Mug eats a full foot long sub and then he's looking at mine and he's wandering around looking at other people's like, you're gonna finish that?
If there's a bag of chips open, you see Beer Mug's hand reaching in there.
After the footlong, I'll top it off with a cup of noodles from the vending machine.
He's a vacuum for food.
Yeah. There's no way he's going to lose this weight.
Look, that brings me to my next point. I go out of my way to eat like that.
You don't.
Yes,
that's
I do.
That's just you breathing. That's how you breathe and live.
Yeah.
You don't go out of your way.
I do. I eat as much crap as I can because right now I don't care about my weight. Right now, the last year, I haven't cared about my weight. I used to do MMA and stuff, and I was in shape. Then I stopped doing that. I was like, who cares? You know, I let myself go. I gained 30 pounds in a year. So I like eating healthy.
Uh-huh.
And like,
no, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
Just as much as I like eating crap.
That's why you've eaten crap every day since I've met you.
Easy to eat crap. Hard to eat healthy.
Right.
But just as enjoyable.
No, it isn't just
yes,
as enjoyable.
It is.
You're crazy.
Now, we were supposed to start this bet yesterday, but then, you know, you guys wanted to do on the air. So the first thing Muggs orders is, I have a foot long with turkey and mayo and all this stuff.
There's no mayo on it.
And then it's like, I'm like, Muggs, you're ordering a foot long full of bread. It's like, I'll start tomorrow.
That's his thing.
That's the thing, yeah.
So Beer Mug is going to try and lose 30 pounds by June 1st. If he doesn't, he's going to have to pay Dave $100 and pay me $100.
Yeah.
Now, do you have $200 set aside for this bet?
I might.
You do not.
He does not.
Do you have the scale?
Yes, I do. All right. Should I get on it?
There is a weigh-in.
Well, we have to have a weigh-in so that we know how much he loses.
How tall are you, Beer Mug?
He's getting the scale now.
He's about almost
6'1".
6'1".
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, 6'1". Okay.
All right. So should I take off my sweatshirt?
No, just fine. Just step on.
Let's just remember that you had that on.
Okay. Don't take your shoes off. Yeah.
You have to take your shoes off.
You should take the sweatshirt and the shoes off. You should be, just down to basics.
Because the sweatshirt adds like 13 pounds.
Hey, look, ready? It may come down to that. It may be 29 point something pounds he's lost.
It's not going to. Bean, it's not going to. He's going to gain weight. That's my prediction. Mugs,
226.8 pounds.
226.8 with sweatshirt.
Okay.
Just making a note.
We take sweatshirt.
No, we don't need another man. Okay. We don't need. We're not trying to weigh the sweatshirt. We got it. I put with sweatshirt.
Right.
226.8. So you're going to have to be 100 and so. You're going to have to be under 200 to make this. Okay.
Wow. What is Muggs planning? What is Muggs planning on doing differently, Dave? Did he say to you? Because he's not smart enough to come back and get on the mic. I mean, is he going to start working out and running and stuff, or is it just going to be all diet?
He thinks it's going to be all diet. And he says, oh, I'm going to eat better and this and that.
I said to Dave, I said, mostly diet, but I'm going to work out 5 days a week. I'm going to do cardio.
Did he say that?
No.
Yes, he said, this is exactly.
Okay, you know what I told Lisa, but this is what he told me. Yeah, I'm cutting out sodas. That's it.
Step one.
Here's the thing that we've learned about Beer Mug. We have to take a break because then we're going to do the Showbiz Beat, and we have Anderson Silva coming in, who I'm very excited about. Beer Mug is the kind of guy who will always, 100% of the time, say, guaranteed, no problem.
Yeah.
At the very beginning of this job, when he took over for Psycho Mike, after a week, he's like, I'm never going to make another mistake.
Did them all.
And I said, Beer Mug, don't say that. That's stupid. And he said, I'm not going to make another mistake. Finally, I bet him, and I said, don't take the bet. I was begging him not to. He's got this weird belief in himself. Bean, you remember all the eating challenges.
Absolutely. He never successfully completed one eating challenge, but he was always 100% convinced he would.
Always 100% convinced. There's not a doubt in his mind. And the fact that he fails at everything does not dampen that 100% enthusiasm and belief in himself.
My mom always told me, confidence over ability. And that's how I live my life.
Well, that's what you got, man. That is what you have. You have lots of confidence, very little ability. All right. So it is written. It is in the book. Right. February 14th. We got your weight down. June 1st, we do this again and see who wins the money.
You guys are going to be eating your words when I'm 198
pounds. We'd be more than happy to pay you $200.
And I'm
going to
be 100 air. Yeah.
No. A lot of love for the little man, Brad Williams, filling in for Ralph Garman last hour on the Showbiz Beat, and he will be back in about 45 minutes or so to do another one for us. In the meantime, it's us, Kevin and Bean, filling in for Ralph. Got two stories to get us started that both involve the famous Hollywood Walk of Fame. Did you see who's getting a star this morning at 11:30?
No.
I did not.
Matt Groening, creator of The Simpsons.
Really?
There's a guy who deserves a star, don't you think?
Well, I would have thought he would have had one 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, look, last week Paul McCartney got a star. Wouldn't you have thought he would have had one 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 40 years ago? It's weird how it works. But Matt Groening, creator of The Simpsons, celebrating the 500th episode of The Simpsons airing this Sunday, is going to get the 2,459th star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. If you want to go down there for the ceremony, it's going to be at 11:30 Hollywood Boulevard at the corner of Hollywood and Sycamore, right near Hank Azaria's star. He, of course, does Moe on The Simpsons, Chief Wiggum, and a bunch of others. Some of the guest speakers include Yeardley Smith, who is the voice of Lisa Simpson. The other story that involves the Hollywood Walk of Fame that I thought was fascinating is Whitney Houston's star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. That does not exist. A lot of times when a famous person dies, that's what people do, is they go down and they look for their star and they leave flowers and candles and a memorial. I didn't know this, but check this out. Whitney Houston was awarded a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame back in 1995. They said, okay, you're in. Now it's up to you to schedule the ceremony. And the Whitney Houston people never put in a request for the ceremony. They never had an unveiling date. They never had the party and the celebration and the all that kind of stuff. So basically after 5 years, it just expired.
She was unreachable, I'm guessing.
Well, that is possible.
And by the way, you also have to come up with $25,000. This is not just where they honor you. You actually have to come up
to
with $25,000.
Raise the cash.
Yeah.
And apparently, by the way, you also have to pitch in for the star, not only for the star itself to get it made, as you said, but for its ongoing upkeep as well, which is weird. You just think that how much upkeep is involved. I mean, it's just the guy who sweeps the streets, I would imagine.
But have you seen what they have to sweep down there?
Well, yeah, that's true. Anyway, the Hollywood Walk of Fame representative says, at this time, we believe the family should be left to grieve for their dearly departed. At such time as they are ready, we would be open to discussions about setting a date to immortalize the legendary Whitney Houston with a posthumous star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. So that may still happen. And you know what? I wouldn't be surprised to see it happen. You know, she's got a movie coming out later this year. Remake of Sparkle is completed. And she's the star of it. She and Jordan Sparks from American Idol are starring in this movie called Sparkle. It's in the can already, and it's coming out. It's going to be very weird to have that movie coming out in August or something with no Whitney Houston around. But I wouldn't be surprised to see the star turn up about then.
The cover girl for the 2012 Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue is Kate Upton.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking about her a lot lately. She's 19. That means last year, or maybe the year before, she was a senior in high school.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what that means. She's 19 years old. She's unbelievable. It got leaked yesterday on the internet, and then TMZ put it up. It was supposed to be announced last night on Letterman, which is how they pretty much do it every year. But if you'd like to see Kate Upton, maybe you're not familiar with her body of work.
Oh, sorry.
I put up a photo gallery and some videos and some information and just a few things I think
a
you might.
A little primer?
It's a little, yeah, it's a little kind of get to know your Sports Illustrated supermodel on the front cover. And you go to kevinandbean.com or krock.com and you can see all of that. I would spend much time there.
I wonder what we were doing on the Kevin and Bean show the day that Kate Upton was born. It's kind of sad when you put
that
way, isn't it?
That puts it in place, doesn't it?
Would you shut up? And finally, because I didn't have time to mention this yesterday with all the Grammy stuff, I was a little bit impressed. Not that they need the money, but it's just so rare these days to see celebrities give away those baby photos for free. Because let's face it, the tabloids, the People magazines of the world, the Us Weeklies, they pay huge dollars to get the first photo of a celebrity baby. And there's been no celebrity baby that has been talked about more in recent weeks than Beyonce and Jay-Z's Blue Ivy Carter. But sure enough, they took pictures and put them up on their own website free for everybody to see.
How about that?
Yeah,
and that would have been a huge cash grab to get the sell those pictures, right?
Yeah, of course.
And they could have, done, you know, like what Brad and Angelina do, which is always sell the photos and always give the money to charity. Would have been a nice thing to do instead. But yeah, they decided to just take the pictures and put them up. So
they gave them away for free, and that's not good enough for you.
No, I'm saying it's refreshing that they didn't sell it. But if they were going to sell it, they're so rich, it would have been nice if they could have used the opportunity to make some money for charity. That's all.
I got you. All right, coming up in a minute, we're going to talk to the guy who Dana White has called the best MMA fighter in history. Anderson
well, I mean,
Silva.
He is the longest-running champion in the history of the sport. It's kind of hard to argue with how long he has been undefeated and how many fights he's won. He's 14-0, for God's sake.
Yeah.
But all that ends today when he comes face-to-face with you, Kevin Ryder.
I'm not going to fight him.
What?
I'll go easy. I mean, I said I could take him.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to knock him out. No. I thought that was the plan, is you were going to put the hurt on.
That's not how you treat guests, Bean.
Today's celebrity birthdays include the hilarious actor, writer, comedian Simon Pegg. He is 42 years old today and steals every movie that he's in. Rob Thomas from Matchbox 20 is 40 years old today. Actress Florence Henderson. Who's Mrs. Brady from the Brady Bunch show of the 70s? Looks fantastic. Was just on Dancing with the Stars a couple of years ago. She's 78 years old, and she looks as good as she does. Also, Teller of Penn and Teller is 64 years old today. And our old friend Pat O'Brien, now a Fox Sports radio personality, best known perhaps for his years on CBS Sports and with Access Hollywood and The Insider, is 64 today. And that is the Showbiz Beat.
Anderson Silva is the pound-for-pound most skilled fighter, most well-rounded fighter, most spectacular fighter on the planet.
He caught Forrest. He caught him and dropped him, Mike. And he hit him again with that right hook. Anderson Silva has knocked out Forrest Griffin.
He's such a sniper. I mean, his strikes are so accurate and so deadly.
Travis Luter taps, and Anderson Silva is victorious.
Anderson Silva on his back lands a heel kick to the top of the head of Yushin Okami and knocked him out.
What Anderson likes to do from the bottom, he likes to do a body triangle from the bottom because he's got such long legs. Body kick by Anderson there. Mitch is in trouble.
Another knee. It goes on Franklin, and it is all over. Anderson Silva has defended his middleweight title.
He is the current UFC World Middleweight Champion, Anderson the Spider.
Mr. Silva joins us in the Kevin and Bean studios. He's speaking Portuguese. He's asking for a cafe. Does anyone know what that is? Can anyone figure out what a cafe is?
We need a translator.
We have to help. We need a translator immediately. Anderson, welcome to the world-famous K-Rock, my friend. How are you?
Oh, thank you. I'm good.
We're very happy to have you. Very excited.
Yeah. How long until your next fight? We are in a time now where you don't have to worry about somebody hitting you in the head for a while. When is your next fight?
Maybe 2 months, maybe.
Oh, two months.
Okay. You got some time. You got some time to relax a little bit.
No, relax. I've been working hard.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you ever relax? Do you relax after a fight? You know, for a little bit of time? Or
yeah, all the time I relax. I train hard, but all the time I relax.
Tell us your tell us how you train. What's a typical training day like for you?
I'm trained the jiu-jitsu, wrestling, and boxing, the mix of martial arts. Sometimes is two times for training is the and wrestling training, physical training, boxing training.
All in one day?
Yes. Yes.
How many hours?
Wow. Maybe 2 hours.
Twice a day.
Twice a day.
2 hours.
Wow.
Twice a day.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Who is with Anderson? Who's helping us out here?
I'm his manager, Ed Suarez.
And he's also...
Hi, Ed. Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for helping us. So with a fight 2 months out, are you already in a full-time training mode, or can you, you know, do a little bit here, take some time off, do a little bit there, take some time off?
Sometimes off.
I mean, actually, his fight's going to be in June. So he's just starting his training camp now. He's just starting to, you know, train. He's training every day, and then probably by the end of the month, he'll head back to Brazil to go into his full bore training camp. So he'll be 100% by the time the fight comes in June.
Now, gotcha. Do you train locally in Torrance or someplace here in Southern California?
Yeah, I train in here, California, in the Black House. Is the private academy, mm-hmm. No open for all the people, but for the students, the academy.
Mm-hmm.
And I start training now in the UFC gym for in Torrance.
Yeah.
I back to Brazil for start my big training for my big camp for the fight.
So when a big fight's coming up and you're in serious training, back to Brazil, that's where you go.
Yeah.
Is the UFC so popular back home now that everybody recognizes you in Brazil, Anderson?
Yeah, of course. The UFC in Brazil now is the big. Sometimes I stay in Brazil, the people talk to me, hey, UFC is the big show in here. It's amazing. The people is loving UFC in here.
What's it like in America? I'm sure some people recognize you a lot, and some people don't recognize you at all.
Yeah. I like it.
You like it that way?
Yes. This is the great work in the UFC for media, for exposing. It's very important.
Now let's talk about this this game, UFC 3, Undisputed. Yeah. Is it comes out today. Yeah. The picture of you on the cover of it.
Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3.
Now I've seen some of the, you know, on the TV, and it looks so real. Like, do they show you in the game? Do they show you what you're going to look like, and do you have any input?
Yeah, I like it. I have all the options in the game. I like it, but I know play game. My sons play all the time, but I don't play. Sometimes I play to my sons, Dad, you don't win. Give me money. It's a problem.
Do they beat you? Your sons beat you?
Yeah, all the time.
It's funny, Kevin. We hear this all the time from, you know, Tom Morello can't play Guitar Hero, you know, or we talk to football players who can't play Madden or something. But this is an amazing looking game, and you can be Anderson Silva if you want. You can be Junior Dos Santos if you want. You can be Brock Lesnar, Nate Diaz, whoever you want, Jason Miller. I mean, the list goes on and on and on of people. And you fight on the screen with all of the UFC moves available to you. I mean, it's pretty remarkable, and it really does look so real. I swear, it looks like that movie Hugo. You know, it's creepy how real it looks.
Yeah, this is new one. I know. See this?
Mm-hmm. You haven't seen this one yet?
Yeah, no, this is new one. Mm-hmm. But the older game I played sometimes with my sons is incredible.
It really does look amazing, yeah. How, did you go to them and go, hey, make my shoulders bigger. Make my stomach stronger. Make my legs. I mean, it's basically a cartoon of you. That's got to be weird to see.
Hey, before we take a break, and our guest is Anderson Silva, and we're talking about UFC Undisputed 3 that's available today for Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. Anderson, tell me what it is you eat on a regular basis to stay in such good shape. What is your diet like? This might help you, Beer Mug.
Yeah.
This is my secret, okay?
Okay.
Don't talk to other people.
Don't tell anyone.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Burger King.
Burger King is the answer.
All right.
We'll keep that to ourselves. Works for Spider. It could work for all of us, right? Anderson Silva is here. We'll take a break. Be back with more right after this on the Kevin DeBeach. The middleweight champion of the world in the UFC, Anderson Silva, is in studio with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show, undefeated for the past 5.5 years, 14-0 in the octagon. Kevin, you haven't hit him one time since he's been in studio today. What's going on, man? You were a lot of talk before Mr. Silva arrived. Not so much now.
What is it like for you when you go out in public? Do you have people that think they can beat you up or want to try to beat you up? Or, I mean, does that kind of stuff happen? They think they're tough.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sometimes I'm joking with my friends. I punch your face. Okay, you punch my face is very, very easy. But you stand now for money for me is no easy. Okay.
Yeah.
Relax.
Yeah.
Of the 14-0 record that you have, Anderson, was the toughest fight for you UFC 117 against Chael Sonnen? Was that the hardest fight or the closest you came to losing?
No, maybe my first fight the Rich Franklin. Yes, is the. For me, it's the more intensive.
Were you, because you're going to fight Chael Sonnen coming up, I know you don't like to talk about it a lot. You've been asked by everybody 1,000 times. But did you think you were going to lose that fight?
No.
You didn't?
No.
Ever?
I'm inside the octagon. I'm taking the focus all the time, my focus. Mm-hmm. I'm inside the octagon. I start the fight. I'm lose on the fight. I'm ready for fight. I'm ready for my working. I'm working hard. Finish fight. This.
I think the reason Kevin asked in particular about that fight with Chael, though, is because that's one that you were trailing on the judges' scorecards for much of the fight, and then you kind of had to come back with that triangle choke at the end to win it. I mean, If you had not pulled that off, it seemed like you might have lost the fight.
Yeah, but the fight have the 5 rounds.
Right.
Yeah. The 5 rounds, I have the condition for finish the fight. Mm-hmm. The Chael, the 1 second, the Chael, no more focus.
Oh, is that right?
I pick up the chance, finish.
So he wasn't trained for 5 full rounds and lost focus?
Well, he just basically, what I think he means is that, you know, at any given moment, if you lose focus inside the octagon, you have the opportunity to lose. And what happened was is Chael lost his focus in the last 2 minutes of the fight, and Anderson was able to capitalize on the opportunity. I mean, right before the 5th round, yeah, everybody I'm sure was a little bit. But you know what? Right before the 5th round, if you watch it, Anderson looked around and kind of waved up and said, like, let's go.
So, in your mind.
In his mind, you were fine.
5th round. You were you were fine.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yeah, sometimes I see the Bruce Lee talked, my friend. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you need to change position, change for the water, mm-hmm. change for
so
no have
just
forms.
Do-
yeah, just be like water, like, you know, like Bruce Lee always said, you know what I mean? It's like if water can crash, it can, you know, but you have to be like water and just adapt to every situation. And that's what Anderson, entering the fifth round, was going through.
Do you study him, Bruce Lee?
Yes.
Yeah. How much have you paid attention to? Because you're a black belt in four different things, jiu-jitsu and taekwondo and judo. Yeah. And I mean, you're a black belt in pretty much everything.
You can kick Bruce Lee's ass, I think is what we're saying.
No, I respect the grim grandmaster.
Yeah. This is the voice of Anderson Silver and our friend Ed, also from the UFC, here on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about many things with the champ today, including UFC Undisputed 3, available today through Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. It is the most unbelievably realistic-looking fight game you've ever seen. You should check it out. And Ed, you were telling us there's a documentary on Anderson coming out that we had not heard about in May. What's that deal?
Yeah, it's a documentary. It's called Like Water. Last year we released the film. We went to Tribeca and we won an award at Tribeca. And now recently Lionsgate and Cinedigm picked it up to distribute it here in the U.S. And it's a great documentary. What it does is it documents Anderson from the Damian Maya fight, which was in Abu Dhabi, leading up to the Chael. To the Chael Sonnen fight in August of that same year. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's an incredible documentary because it's not shot like a typical documentary where it's shot like a film. So to me, it's almost like a Rocky movie, but filmed, it's like a documentary, but filmed like a movie. So it's not like a bunch of talking heads on the camera. It's really put together very well, and it's going to be in theaters sometime in May. It's going to be released here throughout the U.S.
I can't wait. Nice. I have to ask you another question. Again, Anderson Silva is in the studio with us. UFC 126, Vitor Belfort, front kick to the face, knockout, first time it's ever happened, and Steven Seagal was talking about how he trained you. Here's a little bit of Steven Seagal talking about that fight.
Steven Seagal, today you were here with Anderson. What did you think of the fight?
I couldn't have been happier because right before he walked out, I said, you know, stay away from him for the first, you know, 2-3 minutes. Just kind of get him frustrated and then fake low and come high and do that kick that I've been teaching you.
Okay, now, do the kick that he's been teaching you. He taught you that kick. No way. Not possible.
No, yes, yes.
No!
Yes, it's possible.
Steven Seagal!
One day I'm start my training for the fight for Vitor.
Uh-huh.
The master, Steven Seagal, looking the training.
Mm-hmm.
I train the kicks, the front kicks.
That front kick to the head.
Yes. The master Steven Seagal talked to me, hey, you upstairs, up a little up your knee. Your knee is the your legs is more fast. You need to
pick your knee up higher.
Yes, little bit is
and kick, and he won't see it coming.
Yes, more fast.
And that was
I'm looking at the Master Steven. Really? Yeah.
Are you calling him Master Steven?
Yeah.
No.
It's good, Master.
No.
Yes.
Master Steven Seagal.
Yes.
To us, he's just a fat TV bad martial artist.
But it's true. Everything he's saying is true. I saw it happen. He really did. I wouldn't say that he went and taught him the kick.
Of course not.
But he definitely helped him perfect it.
He
fine-tuned it. He did. I saw it. I mean, people are always in disbelief, and they ask me, and I say, no, it's true. I saw it with my own two eyes. They did. People can say what
my uncle talked to me. Hey, you talk serious? Steven Seagal showing this kick? You're kidding me? Yeah, yes, uncle. It's real.
Your own
no
family
way.
Doubts.
This is no Hollywood movie.
Right. Your own family doubts it. And we asked Dana White, and he said, I don't know. He said, Anderson Silva likes to joke. He's a jokester.
No, no.
He's
Not this time.
No.
Master Steven Seagal.
Yeah, he did. And, you know, people always question Steven Seagal's, like, martial art ability. But, you know, people need to remember that, you know, regardless of the films that he made, I mean, he was the first non-Japanese person to have a martial art academy in Japan. I mean, he is a true – in his art,
see, we didn't even know that.
Yeah.
No.
But, I mean,
to us, he was fake.
He's not fake, man. People can say he's real. He understands fighting. Even in the Lyoto fight when he knocked out Randy Couture.
Right.
I mean, I even thought he was exaggerating a little bit, but it was true that he was saying – Anderson was sitting right next to him, and he was yelling for Lyoto to do that kick.
It's true.
I can't get my head around that. It's not possible.
Are you rubbing your eyes right now, Kevin?
I just can't get my head around that.
This isn't happening.
That's crazy.
Well, this has been a very educational visit. So Steven Seagal is surreal.
Steven Seagal.
You two can train like Anderson Silva by just eating at Burger King. We learned that today. And you're heading back to Brazil to defend your middleweight title. That's going to be coming up in Sao Paulo in June against Chael Sonnen, which, by the way, I think it's a given that you will destroy him based on the way he's been fighting lately versus based on the way you've been fighting lately. But we're all going to enjoy very much seeing that, I think.
It's going to be a lot of fun. One last question. How are you changing your training? I'm sure the first fight with Chael Sonnen didn't go exactly the way you wanted. How are you changing your training?
My opinion is the Chael is the great, great fight.
Uh-huh.
But talks too much.
He does talk too much.
Yes.
No question.
This is no good for a sport. Uh-huh. This is a sport. I understand. I need your promotion. The fight, I need promotion.
He's almost like a cartoon.
Yeah, but it's talk too much. Yeah. Talk to my family, talk to people in Brazil.
Oh.
This is no good. I respect all the people in the world. The UFC is staying inside America. It's staying in all the people in the world, having Japan, having the China, English. All the people love UFC.
Mm-hmm.
The Chael talk too much this time. It's problem for UFC. But that's okay.
You can shut him up, Anderson.
Yeah, I go for the fight. I'm sport. I love this sport. I respect all the fights inside the octagon. This is very important. This is the great. This time UFC have the great opportunity for all the people watching this fight. Is the Chael talked this sometimes too much?
Mm-hmm.
The people watch. Oh, I don't like this sport.
It's bad for the UFC.
Bad for UFC.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Are you fighting in Brazil though, right?
Yeah. It's fighting in Brazil.
You might have a home advantage a little bit.
You think?
The people in here is sometimes the people in here. My first time in here,
mm-hmm.
the fight. The people don't watch me. But this time the people. Oh, this is Anderson Silva. It's the UFC UFC champion.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice. Chael, I need you take more focus for the work in the UFC. This is good business for UFC.
Mm-hmm.
This is bad business for Chael. But I don't know. I'm ready for fight. I'm start my training.
Do you wish the fight was sooner?
No. Okay. I go back from my home. I back for training together with my friends, my coach. And start the fight. I go for big show for all the people.
Don't tell anyone else the Steven Seagal story. Do not
tell.
Okay,
no more.
Okay. All right. And you can get UFC Undisputed 3. It's out today on Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. And you can... you can be Anderson Silva if you'd like.
Yeah,
sure. Why not? Thank you, Anderson. We enjoyed it. Thank you, Ed.
Oh, welcome.
You're welcome.
Ralph Garman is on vacation this week. Our friend Brad Williams
joins
us here in the studio. Take a look
Very
at the show.
Nice.
This beat. Hey, Brad, did you get your picture taken with Anderson Silva? That would have been a hilarious photo.
I did. And I front kicked him in the shin.
Is that right? All the way up to the shin?
I kicked as high as I could, man. And that's all I could muster.
And eventually he's going to feel that. And he's going to go, wait, what's that? How did a mosquito get in the building?
Exactly. I don't know. I think I could take him. I mean... Dwarves are dangerous in fights, man. We punch straight forward in sensitive areas.
That's
there.
Right. I don't think he's pretty tall, though. I don't think he could reach up there.
I mean, and we with my arm length, I have to be about 6 inches away from you to make that happen. So literally, if you put like a palm in my forehead, I'm done. I'm done.
Fight's over.
That's how you beat me.
I want to mention just very quickly before we get into showbiz, and Brad is filling in for Ralph this time, that he is going to be appearing on stage at the Viper Room tonight. Doors open at 7:30. Tickets are just $10 at the Viper Room. You've got karaoke and pole dancing competition going on, and yes, you are going to be appearing with maybe the most famous midget in radio, Eric the Midget from the Howard Stern
Right.
Show. Now, you don't look at that guy. I mean, you've got a way better life than that dude does. He's damaged,
angry,
right?
He's
very angry.
Yeah, he's not happy with it. Like, he'll be surrounded by 12 porn stars tonight and somehow be miserable.
Yeah, right. What's that about? That's what I love about you is you find the joy in hookers.
That's what I'm putting on my tombstone. Here lies Brad Williams. He found joy in hookers.
And plenty of penthouse pets will be there. It looks like a fantastic night. Way to spend Valentine's Day at the Viper Room with Brad Williams. You can get tickets online now. Doors open again at 7:30. All right, what do you got in the showbiz beat for us this hour?
Well, showbiz beat, it is Valentine's Day, so I figured off I would list the top five most romantic love songs according to the New York Daily News.
All right, top five most romantic.
Yes, and this will definitely get you in the mood, help you out, guys, to seal the deal. Number five, "You Are So Beautiful" by Joe Cocker. It's a good one.
It's pretty romantic.
All right.
Do people even know that song anymore, though?
I don't think so.
I mean, I guess they sing it on American Idol every season, so yeah, maybe it's still out there.
Yeah, but it's still a good one. Right. It's an oldie but a goodie. Number four, "I Just Called to Say I Love You."
Oh, that song blows so
Stevie
much.
Stevie Wonder. You don't like that one?
That's the worst song that has... And I don't dislike Stevie Wonder, but I hate that song.
Now, is it a little fast-paced for your style, or you still like it?
It's just a horrible, horrific song.
I don't know.
It is horrible. And it won an Oscar, too, by the way, song.
Wow. What?
Yes, what an Oscar. The year
I don't know. See, I'm not really feeling these love songs. I mean,
I agree.
There's some songs that are more deserving that should be on the list, like this one.
That's a romantic song.
Yeah.
That's
right, yeah. That gets you in the mood.
It's much better than "You Are
All
So
right.
Beautiful.
I agree.
That song plays, there's donkey punches galore.
I'm not sure everyone likes, but go ahead.
All right, number three, "Wonderful Tonight" by Eric Clapton. I dig that song. It's a good one.
Don't know it, but
I like
ahead.
That one. Number two, "I'll Be There," Jackson 5. Don't know if post-Michael Jackson death you should be playing any Jackson 5. Maybe she's a big Michael Jackson fan. She's in the mood. You play a little Jackson 5. She goes, "I remember Michael."
So maybe leave that one out.
Then the number one.
Most romantic
love songs, according to the New York Daily News, "My Girl" by The Temptations.
Yeah.
I don't really think
70.
Yeah, look.
Yeah.
These studies, most of the time, you can just tell who they ask, and this is clearly an old people survey.
It must have been. I don't know. I hear "My Girl." I think of the movie "My Girl." Mm-hmm. Within there's kids in your mind, and that's wrong.
That's not right.
That doesn't help. I don't know. I have different songs that I like to use. This is my personal number one favorite song to make love to.
Sure.
Getting it down. Talk a little dirty. What's up, baby? I'm going to take you to the chocolate factory. All right.
Sorry. You're going to take to the chocolate factory.
Take the chocolate factory. Fill you up with my sweet, sweet chocolate.
All right, take it easy.
Are you all right? Getting terribly
That's some good stuff right
there. I don't want to hear about you and your lady in the chocolate factory at all.
All right. Well, in more showbiz news, we had Allison Hayslip in here earlier.
Yes,
and you guys were talking about how much she gets fired from everything
Not
she works on.
Not technically fired, but we do like to make fun of her.
Yeah. Amazingly talented. I hope this new thing really catches on. But I thought, what are stars that have gotten fired from jobs? So I looked up, and here's some interesting ones I found.
Okay.
These are celebrities who got fired from jobs.
Again, Allison did not. She quit.
Right.
We said she got fired to make fun of her. Go ahead.
Exactly. Hugh Jackman used to work as a 7-Eleven cashier.
Really?
And was fired.
Kidding.
Yeah. And was fired from that job for talking too much to the customers.
For being too nice?
Yeah.
What?
Now, I'm thinking that he wasn't talking to them. I'm thinking women would walk in thinking that they're going to be like, welcome to 7-Eleven. I'm here to help you today. And they walk in and see Hugh Jackman.
Oh, yeah. I'm never leaving.
Exactly.
What else could I buy?
Even if he's not the movie star yet, he's good looking, right?
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah.
Madonna fired from a Dunkin' Donuts. And the reason is my favorite. She squirted jelly on a customer.
Are we still talking about donuts?
I don't know. I think that was one of the pages of her sex book, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
So
can't you see her getting fired for any number of 100 reasons?
She couldn't hold down a regular job ever.
Yeah. What was that one clip? Someone brought her the wrong flowers one time and she flipped out? Like, I loathe hydrangeas or whatever the heck that was.
Yeah, they caught her. She didn't know a microphone was on. She was complaining about somebody who had given her flowers, right?
You got Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg was fired from working at a supermarket.
Yeah, I wonder what we know why.
Got a little munchies. Yeah. And this one is my favorite. Bill Hader from Saturday Night Live in numerous movies. He was fired from a movie theater because he told the ending of Titanic to some teenage girls.
I've heard that story before. That is a true story.
Yes.
He spoiled it for them.
They all go down in the water.
They had no idea it sunk.
Yeah, they had to know the ending of it.
No. A lot of teenagers who went to see that movie at the time, 15 years ago, because they were in love with Leo, had never heard of the Titanic. They just knew it was a movie, and there were girls who were devastated that it went down and that he died. Sorry, spoiler alert if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, yeah, so bad. Apparently don't go see the Civil War movies with Bill Hader. He'll tell you that the North won.
Jeez.
So those are my favorite. Let's get to celebrity birthdays. Actress Florence Henderson from the Brady Bunch, 78. Looking good.
Yeah.
TV personality Pat O'Brien from The Insider and now with Fox Sports. It's The Insider. Don't ask
the
him.
The love is real, my brother.
Yeah, love is real.
The love is real, my brother.
Teller from Penn and Teller is 64. Actor Zach Galligan from Gremlins is 48. Simon Pegg, we all love Simon Pegg. Who doesn't? He's 42. The bassist of Lit, I mispronounced his name last time. I think it's Kevin Baldus. I said Blades. I think it's Baldus. He is 40. And singer Rob Thomas of Matchbox 20 is also 40. Happy birthday. I'm Brad Williams. Follow me at Twitter, at FunnyBrad. And I run very quickly across the showbiz beat.
Brad, always great to see you, my friend. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Let me tell you about tomorrow's all-new Kevin and Bean show because we got some good stuff. First of all, Brad, you're a comedian.
I assume so.
Sort of. I mean, come on. When you talk about the upper echelons of the funniest people in the world, tell me Eddie Izzard isn't on that short list.
Hey, why it's got to be shortlist, Bean?
No, good point.
But Izzard joins us in studio tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Legend.
Very, very excited about that. Also, we didn't get a chance to do it today because we bumped it for Valentine's Day nonsense. But if you were stuck in an elevator, we really do want to talk to you tomorrow. Also, we got the internet roundup for you. Got a brand new internet roundup. And I'm exchanging emails right now, Kevin. I think we may have a Doto update.
Yes!
Doto is still dating the lawyer that he met at the airport. He is taking her out for Valentine's Day. And I am online going back and forth with emails right now trying to talk him into giving us a debriefing on how his most romantic night with the attorney goes for Valentine's Day tonight. So maybe a Doto update. All of that tomorrow morning right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
That guy.
What would he need?